Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We're here and we are live tonight. Welcome to the Live Prophetic Talk Show, where we actually do it more than we talk about it. Welcome to the place. Glad to have you all tonight. Good to be with you. All right, we're going to be praying for people tonight. Tonight's Wednesday night where we pray over every person. Prayer night, what we call prayer night. I like it when people show up on prayer night. And that's what we do. We pray. And it's really cool. So I hope you'll enjoy being a part of that. All right, we are working on things. Thank you for being here. And yeah, all right. Let's go here as we get this thing going on. Okay. Give me just a second. All right, welcome everyone. We're going now. We can see everything right in front of our eyes. Really good. Nice to have it. All right, we are going to share some really cool stuff tonight, I think. Let's see what's going on, see how everybody's doing. And be praying for you tonight. Tonight is just, well, we just pray. We pray and prophesy over people. When prophets pray, they prophesy. And healing evangelists pray, they have miracles, right? So we're going to have prophetic miracles. That's what we're going to have. Yeah, in Jesus' name. All right. We are so interested in what God is saying and doing. Right now, we're really into the thing God is doing to, we're interested in healing the nations, healing all peoples of all nations, of all tribes. We're heading toward the future. And in heading toward the future, we are preparing for that, right? When you head for the future and you know what the future is. If you don't know what the future is, I'm not talking about, you know, one of these days Jesus is going to come back. You know, I'm talking about, like, you know, is there what kind of thing's going to go on in the next, you know, 5 years specifically. Because if you know what's going to go on, if God's showing you what's going on, you can prepare for that. If you think something else is going on that you think is going to happen because of your religious beliefs or whatever, and you prepare for that, then you're going to be unprepared for the real thing. And that's what we are really concerned about, really hoping and believing God to reach out and minister to people. We're not going to hit everybody, but we are ministering to people who are truly hungry and are not afraid to, you know, say, hey, I don't believe that. I'm not for that anymore. At least I question it. At least let me question it. And those leaders are going to try to pull them in back to the fold and not let them, like teenagers do. You know, you raise them all their life and they become, they're Christians all their life. And then they get outside the house and they start, you know, questioning things and wondering, is this God for me? And if this really fit with my life outside of my family and blah, 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 on and on. So the same thing is about to happen in a way that people are going to start questioning, you know, what's really real with God and what's really real with the interpretation of the Bible. It's what I've been getting, a bunch of tradition and, you know, lies from nice people. You know, the worst kind of deception you can have is a lie from a nice person who really believes what they're telling you. That's the worst kind of deception you can have. It's the easiest to fall for because they're innocent in their own sense. They really believe in what they're saying. They're not just saying it to deceive you. They are deceived. They're duped, whatever. That could be you, me. That could be you. And it's a whole lot of people, I think, especially leaders. And I think that God is going to, the movement that we're in of the Love Fest is that God is going to reveal his love, and he's going to begin to show us, you know, what he says. And I love these people that are coming out because a lot of them are going to come out from among that situation of religion, and whether it's pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, you know, because we're talking about end times. Why we talk about that so much because we're approaching this. We are here. And so that's why we use that as an example of where we're at, because that's where we're at, right? And so we got to approach everything as, where are we? Where are we? Do you know where we are? Does anybody know where we are? Well, I believe the prophets, as well as others, of course, God's going to use everybody. But the prophets, the end time movement is going to be prophets. Moses and Elijah, if that's who the two witnesses are, which I don't know, you know, for sure. I know Elijah is one of them, but who the other one is, I really don't know. But I do know that they're prophets, right? They're not apostles. They're not teachers. We need apostles. We need teachers. We need pastors. We need evangelists. We need everything. But so people are going to begin to, like teenagers, they're going to begin to question. You know, they could be teenagers as far as being 70 years old, 50 years old, 30 years old, going, is my church really telling me the truth? There's a lot of pressure going down. And see, friend, with all this pressure going down in the earth and all the pressure with the financial situation going on, who knows the real truth? Who really knows? That's what they're saying. They're saying that in their heart right now. They may not have the boldness to say it out loud right now, but they're saying it in their heart. I guarantee you. That's what God's showing me. He's preparing a people that are bold enough to not rebel against their mothers and their spiritual mothers and fathers, but to go, you know, I think I have the right to check this out. And every true spiritual mother and father will give that person a right to check out what they've been taught, to test it out in the Word and get their own revelation from God so it can be theirs. And if it doesn't become theirs, friend, if it's just mommy and daddy's, spiritual mommy and daddy or literal mommy and daddy, you know, then if it's going to be from that, then they're not going to make it. They will fall apart because it's got to be theirs. So they're going to rise up. They're going to begin to question, you know, is the pre-trib right? And the reason, the reason we're saying, we talk specifically about the tribulation, the pre-trib rapture, the post, the mid-trib, the post-trib raptures is because that's where we're at, right? We could have used, if it had been another season, we could talk about that. But the season that we're in is that people are really feeling pressed to, what are we? We hear people talking, and believe me, PGN is not the only one talking about this, that there is no pre-tribulation rapture. And so they're going like, I believe that all my life. What's going on? And it's stirring the pot, man. It's stirring the pot. And it's getting people to come to God and say, God, what do you say about it? Show me in your word. It's going to get people to cry out to God. Yes, they're going to be listening to preachers and prophets and pastors and apostles and evangelists and all that. They're going to be listening to all that, but they're going to be going like, you know, they're going to listen to them. They're going to go, well, God, is that really true? Because if it's true, I want to know it for myself. I'm not rebelling against my spiritual mother and father or my spiritual leaders. I just want to know, you know, do I believe what they believe or do I believe what I believe, what you show me is from you? And see, this is not rebellion. It's going to look like rebellion. It's going to feel like rebellion, just like when your children start saying, Mom, Dad, can we sit down and have a talk? You know, I'm just really questioning our religion and our church and God and all that. And I know all my life I've gone to church and sang songs and worshiped and gone to youth group and Sunday school and been part of revivals and just enjoyed it, you know. But now I'm questioning everything because, you know what, I don't really know if I believe that or not. And so we get upset thinking, you don't believe that? What do you mean you don't believe that? You know, because, you know, mothers and fathers, right? You know, that's my baby doll. That's my child. You know, of course they believe what I believe. It's our family tradition. But the thing is that we do, if we have, we're going to walk in the love fest, is we're going to allow people to find out for themselves from God. So we're going to give them room to, you know, check things out and see if we're going to be here for the tribulation or we're not going to be here. Because let me tell you something, friend, with all the pressure coming on and all the things happening and all the rumors flying around, believe me, they are going like, you know, because if let me tell you what's going to happen. Because most people everywhere, including myself in some ways, have not had a revelation of certain things about the Bible, when the pressure comes, you start that pressure becomes very personal. It causes you to question what you believe. So if you don't have it from God, you're going to question it. You're going to start picking it apart. You're going to start saying, God, if this is real, show me if it's real. That was my prayer when I got saved. If you're real, let me know. And he gloriously showed me. So I think a lot of people are going to do that, except they're not going to do it with their salvation so much as they are, what do we really believe? So because of that, we're going to see a huge shifting. It's already happening right now. You can't see it much because a lot of them are afraid to say, well, Mom, Dad, I know we've been the Baptist, we've been the Pentecostal, we've been the Spirit-filled charismatic churches, all of our life, Church of Christ, Methodist, Catholic, whatever. But you know what? I love y'all, but, you know, I got to find it for myself. And so what's happening is the pressure is going to cause them to find God in a way they've never found him before, as their, as the love of their life and their revelator, where he's revealing to them. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, Peter. My Father has revealed it. Jesus should have been disappointed in Peter. You mean you just now found that out, that I'm the Christ? I've been telling you for years, telling you for 2 or 3 years. You just now getting it? He could have been upset. But you know what? He understood that until Peter got at him, even no matter how many times Jesus told him, flesh and blood, the Son of God was flesh and blood. He was a human being. Even though he's God in the flesh, he was still flesh and blood. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you. I've told you many times, Peter. But it's not because I told you. Now my Father has told you, congratulations. But Jesus could have said, man, 3 years you've been with me and you still don't know who I am? Like he told Philip, Nathaniel, I think. I think it was Nathaniel. He said, or who was it? I can't remember who it was. Nathaniel or Philip, one or the other. He said, when you see me, you see the Father. You mean you don't really know who I am yet, Philip? So this is kind of what's happening. It's a beautiful scene going on. It's a beautiful thing happening. And so we need to be ready. One of the reasons is that I have become so strong in this and declaring and decreeing these things so boldly and so radically, in a sense, is because of this very thing, because they're looking for that. And if they're looking for it, and if we're sitting over going, well, we don't want to rock the boat, we don't want to cause any trouble, but when you got people that are looking for something that may be different what they have, and if you're just preaching, well, I don't want to tell anybody I'm not pre-trib, I don't want to say anything because I want to rock this. So I came out about 3 years ago. I came out of the closet about 3 years ago and started telling people, I mean, I never have believed in the pre-tribulation rapture, but now God is allowing me to tell people. You know why? Because he wanted to build this thing up so that people that are looking for it will at least be able to come now that they're getting an open mind. And they're starting to reject or maybe question their upbringing and their raising in the Bible, whether they were raised from 5 years old up to 20, and then they did it, or they were raised in the church. They got saved at 50, and they're now 70 or 80 or whatever. They're questioning it. They're going, man, pressure, y'all, is what is causing them to go, is this really what I believe? Do I believe this, or is it just because my church believes it? Which one is it going to be? It is a movement of God. It's going to cause people to rise up and go, wow, I need to know from God, just like Peter, because we preach on it all the time, but we don't get people the right to have it, right? Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Jesus said to Peter, but my Father, which is in heaven. But when he said, thou art the Christ, Peter said that. It now became his. It was no longer because Jesus said it. It was no longer because somebody else was telling him. It was now because he had got it from the Father, and Jesus recognized it instead of criticizing him like, you just now got that, what I might have done, or you might have done with your kids or whatever. You mean you just now getting it that Jesus is the Lord? I thought you received Jesus when you were 5 years old, son or daughter or whatever. Yeah, oh, my God. But, friend, we will be thankful and grateful when those that have been in the church all their life, and they're now 50, 70, whatever years old, and they're going to be going like, oh, my God, God just showed me that the pre-tribulation rapture is not in the Bible. It's not real. It's not real. We're going to go through some things, and I'm not prepared. I need to get prepared. Where can I go to get prepared? And they're going to start looking for places that they can be prepared. And part of the thing that we've been doing, creating a lot of waves in the sea of the end time movement, it started with Trump. The Trump and Biden thing, that kind of got some attention, and some other things, some market things got some attention a little bit, but that got a lot of attention. Things were spread around that we were saying something that nobody else was saying, and that was the reason God did that through us so boldly, is because he was trying to say, hey, right over here, check this out over here. Hey, check this out, especially when it came to pass, right? And it's still coming to pass, the things that God is showing us. So it's still coming to pass. People are saying, well, you know, I don't know. I keep hearing that PGN thing, and, you know, or people like us PGN, that they're saying things nobody else is saying. You know what? I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to sit there and listen to y'all, my mother, my spiritual mother, father. Don't go near those people because they don't believe like us. That's why I'm going to go check them out, because they don't believe like us, because I don't even know if I believe like us. I need to find out for myself. And friend, there's going to be a whole crew, a whole army. Some of them might call them the remnant, whatever you want to call them. I don't really like the word remnant, even though it's a beautiful, beautiful word. It's been abused a lot. Kind of like the word revival has. Revival is a beautiful word, but it's been abused. So I don't really like to use that word, but that's kind of what we're talking about. So we're looking at people starting to go, what do I really believe? Well, thank God, it's about, they're saved. Most of them are saved. Some of them may question their salvation, you know, and they may get saved. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Yeah, a whole crew of people that thought they were saved, they got saved by watching a movie about the pre-tribulation rapture. And if you're gonna get saved, you can get your head cut off. So they ran down to the altar to get saved so they can get their heads cut off. I mean, how ridiculous is that? It's total strategy. You know, that strategy, I believe that God uses reverential fear and all, but that, because that's so fake and it's such a lie, they used it thinking they're bringing many people to Christ when really a lot of them were sincere in it. And I think the preachers were sincere also, because they were taught that stuff, and now they're bringing it in to the next generation. So we are going to be used to help to a certain degree, as well as others, to turn the tide on all that. And that's why we've been so bold. If you're not going to get attention for something, God wants to get attention, he does something really unique. Like when he had Egypt and the Israel and Egypt thing. Remember that? He separated them. He protected them, and all Egypt was being taken down. Protected, but he protected Israel. What was he doing? He said, I'm going to sanctify you among the nations. I'm going to set you apart and show the world that I am with you. That's why he told them to eat the things he told them to eat, so they wouldn't get sick. So the plagues and the sicknesses wouldn't come near them, because they diligently listened to the voice of the Lord when he said, don't eat certain things and don't worship certain gods. Because when God said, don't worship certain gods, it was about, you know, they didn't know it, but they would be entering into demons. When you worship those idols, you're worshiping, you end up being connected to demons. That's why God said don't do it. It wasn't because he was trying to keep them from checking something new out. Right? It's because he knew that those idols had to do with demons. That's all confirmed through Paul the Apostle in the New Testament, I think in 1 Corinthians. I remember the exact details on that, but he said that when they what they offer up to idols. That those idols they offer up to, they're offering up to demons. So we know that that's why God said do that. So when they strictly, diligently listened to the voice of the Lord their God and obeyed his commandments, that they found themselves staying clean from eating bad things that make them sick, therefore no plague or sickness or disease come near them. None of these diseases will come near you. I will put none of these diseases on you. Why did he say that? Because he showed them how to eat and how to worship. Worshiping, eating is not the only thing that makes you sick and die. Worshiping idols, having false things that you give yourself to, opens you up to demons, right? Me, you, all of us, whoever you are. So he taught them not to do that. Therefore, they begin to understand that we can't go into my best friend over there. He's an idol worshiper, and mom says I need to quit running around with him because eventually I may be believing that, and God knew that those idols and demons, those had to do with demons. So that's why God said, don't do that, because it opens you up to demonic oppression, all right? And so there's all these different reasons why God said, diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord and to the laws, because the laws specifically put out, you know, what to eat, what to drink, what animals you could eat, and the ones you couldn't eat. God made them very detailed to Moses. Him and Moses talked for hours upon 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 hours, and he wrote them down like a little secretary, right? And God was telling him, listen, the way Israel's going to stay clean and keep from diseases and sicknesses and all that kind of thing is I'm going to show you guys how to worship, number one, really important, what not to worship, right, because you're going to become unclean and open yourself up to destruction through demons, through idol worship, all right? So worship, taught them how to worship God and not worship idols, which were demons. God was, you know, God was God, worship God, and you'll get God. Almighty, and they worship the idols, you're going to get demons. All right? You eat the right foods. You eat the foods of other nations. They don't understand. God has not explained to them. God has not explained. Moses is the only one that God had explained to him in detail why God said don't eat the pig or don't eat certain things. And it's not just pigs. It's just certain kinds of fish that he said don't eat. Right? So remember one of the commands that God gave Adam and Eve. Remember that? He told them something they couldn't eat. Remember that? They could eat anything in the garden, all the trees, but in the garden, you can't eat of that one tree. Don't eat of it. So he was telling them this. So God still tells us today, there's some things that you just don't eat, right? Because it will open you up to the demonic realm and other things and sickness and disease and separate you from God, just like it did Adam and Eve when they ate of it. And so anyway, there's so much that we're going to be talking about this a lot in the next few weeks and months to help open our eyes to, because God is marrying the supernatural, what Jesus brought us at the cross of Calvary in the day of Pentecost, the spiritual dimension with the natural dimension of his provision, that through the word, all things were created in the earth when he created all the trees of the field, all the fruit, all the vegetables, all the herbs, and he told them to eat them. They had glorified bodies to eat it. So that was his provision. So did he come, and Christ became our provision on the cross, sent the Holy Spirit, and then we have that spiritual. So those two things God is about to marry, all right? So you need to start understanding what's happening. You start saying, how come we're talking about that right now? Some of you are saying, how come he's talking about that right now? That is so wonderful. And God is trying to tell us what he is doing. He is joining those two things together so that we can not just do everything spiritual and eat and do and say anything we want and just come and come back to God. He wants to keep us clean. He wants to show us how to worship him in all areas like he did the children of Israel when God explained to Moses the things of how to worship, what way to worship, what way to not worship. Don't use strange incense. That's it. Because remember, Aaron's sons died. Remember that? Remember Aaron's sons who offered up strange incense, and they died. God told them not to do that. They did it anyway. It shows you things that we're going to learn. We're going to learn that God's going to marry the supernatural realm of praying in the name of Jesus for sickness and disease, and then tell people, go and sin no more. In other words, go eat the food that you need to eat and quit eating all that junk that made you sick in the first place. Right? Just like God says in his laws. Not the laws of sacrifice. Jesus fulfilled that. And if you eat something, God's not going to kill you. You just end up really killing yourself, basically, eventually. You end up dying of disease, right? Because you're eating things that God specifically said and told Moses specifically. He wasn't just trying to lay down, okay, let's see, what can we, let's don't eat this and let's don't eat that. I don't know why. They're making it, they're both the same thing, but since they look different, I don't want to eat them. No, he said don't eat them. Because of it was not good for you. You were not made for that, right? So we're going to get a hold of all this stuff, telling you that the Spirit of God spoke to me that he's going to marry, he's going to bring a combining together of the natural realm of the earth, that was his provision in the beginning, why God told Moses specific details. It's the most detailed description of everything in the earth that God made and the things that he didn't make for us. It's like that he made the tree, and the tree in the middle of the garden. He said, tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, you can eat any tree you want, of any tree you want, but don't eat of the fruit of that tree. Right? She's always said, there's things you can eat, and there's things you don't eat. That was in the very beginning before sin ever entered through the earth. Right? Okay, so you're all familiar with that. I have to go to the scripture on that so you know what I'm talking about. So this is what we're talking about tonight, y'all. We're starting to enter into a phase where we're going to be dealing with all areas of life and from a biblical perspective and learning, I'm a meat man. I'm not trying to turn everybody vegetarian because I'm not vegetarian at all, not even close. But I'm just finding out that in a lot of those leaves and things, there is the chemistry that God put in them are to keep us healthy and keep our bodies functioning right. So it's not a law that if you don't do it, you're going to, God's gonna get stoned. you know, you'll just die early because you're not feeding your body what it needs. Your body was created by God out of the dirt, and God created you out of the dirt. You know, from the dirt you came, from the dirt you return until Jesus, unless Jesus comes back. Right, so you came from dirt, so everything God made to feed you, because we came from dirt, is put in the dirt. So anything in the dirt that was made of dirt, that came out of the dirt, like trees and fruit, you know, all the animals, so there's things that we eat, there's things that we don't eat, there's things that God created, there's things that have been, you know, messed up, and God's going to make it very clear to us how to keep ourselves pure and clean. And he made things from the earth to nurture us because we came from the earth. So there's a lot of things I'm going to explain, because not everything that came from the earth that he allowed us to eat. So, but just like when the tree that he created that he said we couldn't eat before sin entered into the world, before Adam and Eve messed up, that tree, he had it right there in the middle of all the perfection. He had one tree that he made. He made it. It came out of the same dirt. And he said, of that tree, you will not eat, or you will die from it, or it will eventually. Now I can tell people that if you keep eating that stuff, you can. God's not gonna, you know, you're not gonna get stoned by the church or something. It has nothing to do with that at all. It has to do with that it'll eventually, you know, when you're not feeding your body what you need, your body shrivels up and shrinks up. Whether it's your kidneys, your liver, your brain, whatever it is, if it's not getting fed properly, it's going to have the curse on it. In other words, it's going to have the lack of God's blessing, right? Because God's blessing comes with doing and understanding. He says, do this and you will live. Eat this and you will live. Eat this and you will die. So you eat pigs, you're going to die. You eat certain fish, you're going to die. So you will be defiled. Defilement opens you up to death. It's like they didn't physically die when they partake of it. So the same thing happens. It's a lot of the things that we eat bring us to a slow death. Mainly because it has no nutrition, and you get filled up on things that do not bring nutrition to your body. And when you do that, you starve your body to death, even though you're full and eating all the time. See, it's all about eating. We're going to talk about that. 17 times in the book of Genesis, 17 times God uses the word eat and ache and eaten. 17 times. I counted them today. In Genesis 3, the word eat, ate, and eaten, like eating, a lot of eating going on in Genesis 3. 17 times, y'all, the word eat, ate, and eaten. It's all there, like 17 times in one chapter. Eat, ate, and eaten. It's amazing. Yeah, I actually found that today, and I love it. It's really, truly amazing. So I'm very grateful to God that he's starting to show me these things, and so that I can share them with you, so I can do my job, and your blood will be off my hands, right? Yeah, plus I love doing it. All right, so there we go. All right, hopefully you're all doing well tonight. If not, we're going to be praying for you. I could go on a little bit more, but we'll kind of see what goes on here in the next few minutes. All right, there's so much going on. There's so much revelation that I'm getting about all this. My brain is getting bigger. I say bigger. I'm not getting the big head, I don't think. But my brain is getting bigger. I'm thinking bigger. I'm thinking wider. I'm able to see things more easily. I'm seeing things a lot more easily, easier. A lot easier? Yeah, something like that. And so not all my brain is perfect. None of it's perfect, actually, but it's the parts of my brain that are actually functioning at a higher level already. And I just got started with this like 2 or 3 months ago. So really pray for me as I venture into this. And, the brain is a very sensitive organ. Of course, it runs everything. So if you mess it up, you're going to need a miracle to get back on track. So pray for me as I experiment with my brain. That's why I like using my own body, my own brain, because if I did everything perfect, it would be on me. But so far, so good, and it's truly, truly a blessing from God. So get ready for that, and watch God just give us high intelligence from him, from the Holy Ghost, from the Word of God. It's going to be amazing. Help us understand things we've never understood before. All right, All right, give me just a moment. I'll be right back, and we're going to get ready, I think, to pray. So I'll be right back, yeah. Pastor, you ready to take callers tonight? I could keep revelating more. I got a lot more I want to share, but I'm going to try not to load you on too much at one time. All right. All right. All right. Thank you very much, everyone, for being a part of PGN. We really appreciate it. And, God is good, and we are believing God for miracles, signs, and wonders of all kinds. We're going to get our mind off signs, wonders, miracles being just physical healings, that kind of thing. Thank God for those, absolutely. But we're looking for signs, wonders, and miracles from God, right, in every area. Around here, it's prophetic miracles. It's the miracles in the prophetic realm, getting miraculous information, getting information that is miraculous information, that is, nobody's got it but the prophets, right? And the prophets give it to people, not sell it, but give it to people, give it away. And we don't write books of information and sell it. What we write, we give. I can't even imagine the apostles writing 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and selling it for $19.95. You know, can y'all believe that? I mean, see, that's the way I look at all that. And we're gonna write words from God and then sell it. Well, Brother Chandler, you know, we just can't trust people to give. No, you're not trusting God to take care of you. Don't blame it on the people. I've had him actually literally tell me that. Well, we can't really trust the people, you know. We can't give things because they take advantage of it. I'm going like, that's a root of not trusting God. Who's talking about trusting the people? You know, of course, I don't trust people with everything either. Who does? Who trusts everybody with everything? I don't know anybody that does that. You know, especially people you don't know, of course you don't trust them. That has nothing to do with not trusting people. It has to do with trusting God. You see, that's the whole problem, is they don't trust God to provide for God's ministry. They don't trust God to provide for God's ministry. It is amazing. When you see it the way I've seen it, it's just enlightening. Totally enlightened. All right. Okay, I'll give you just a second here. I'm answering some questions. Okay. Let me see, he'll be right there. Okay. All right, everybody, let's call out our numbers here and let's see what's going on tonight. We thank you for being with us. We're starting a little bit earlier than usual, I think, but whatever, it's happening, so we'll thank God for that, I guess. Yeah. All right, so we're going to call out your number, your first 6 digits of your number, area code, and the first 3 digits of your number, I should say. And you'll tell me, I'll ask you what your name is, and give me your first name. That's your last name. Is your first name. And your state you're from, and that'll be it. Then I'll mute you and prophesy and go to the next person. All right? All right. If you need that number to call into this show, it's 319-527-6737. That's a call-in number for this particular show. So make sure you call in and get in on that. All right? All right. Okay. All right, let's take our first caller tonight. Set 202-722. Can I talk to your friend, please?
Hey, Brother Randy, it's Daryl Paul from Maryland and Nicole from D.C. Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, thank you very much. All right, thank you, Daryl Paul and Nicole. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Father, for the future, God. We look for the future. What does the future hold? And I just see God really opening your eyes in new ways, Daryl Paul, to know that the future is making decisions right now on serving Jesus. And the decisions that we make now, and I know you already know all this stuff, but the decisions that we make now to serve Jesus is what leads us to our future. People don't realize that the decisions we make either blind us or begin to dull our ability to hear God. They either blind us or dull us our ability to hear Jesus or see the way to go. So every decision that you make every day, and opening yourself more and more and more to the Lord, is what takes you to your future, to where you can't miss it. The only reason we miss the future isn't because we couldn't see it and go get to it. But the reason we miss our future, many people miss their future. I'm not talking about Christians, you're going to go to hell for missing their future. They just miss the very thing they were created to do, because they think they've got to see the future to get there. But really the truth is that we obey God and listen to God every day right now. And knowing that he leads us and guides us because we're making decisions concerning him and what he says, every decision we make directs us in a certain path, right? Now, I know you already know all this stuff, but God's really wanting to open this up for you. And I think God's really going to bring this deeper for you, that every decision you make every day is pointing you the direction that you're going to be walking, right? So you take a couple of steps, a step for the next day. Each day is a step. You make decisions for that day. Sometimes we may fall back a little bit. We get back up and we go at it again. And the more daily, give us this day our daily bread, or give us this day our daily, yielding to you, feeding us who you are, what you are, and helping us make the decisions every day when I choose to bless those who curse me and do good to those who despitefully use me, I'm going to be going the direction God wants me to go. If I choose to have unforgiveness, I'm going to be blinded to which way to go. No, it's not about going to hell. It's about the Father not forgiving us, right? When the Father doesn't forgive us, forgiveness has nothing to do with heaven or hell. Being born again has to do with heaven or hell. A lot of Christians are going to have things that they're not going to have forgiven. It has nothing to do with them going to hell. It has to do with when you're born again, that's how you get into heaven. You don't get into heaven by having forgiveness of your sins. Although that's part of it, you get into heaven by being born again by the Holy Spirit, which has to do with being a new creation, being born again. Your spirit man is totally recreated. And then the decision, as you read the word and seek God, and your soul or your mind gets opened up to the word of God every day by decisions that we make. God, what are you going to do today? Am I going to keep doing this same old thing I know is wrong? May not be bad wrong. It may be something that's not for me. Other people may do it. Everybody may do it. But God's been telling me not to do that particular thing, and I'm still doing it. Then that's going to lead you the wrong direction. It's going to lead. So when you choose to say, God, I don't know what everybody else is going to do, but I'm going to serve you because you're telling me what to do. I'm going to do what you say. And when you choose to do what he says, then you go the direction, and you cannot miss your future when you make daily decisions with Jesus and what he's calling you to do, telling you to do. But it's those distractions and those little sins that we don't get right, that we don't fix right, and we all have them to a certain degree. But getting them right and keeping them right and moving closer and closer to God by making decisions to follow Jesus every day. God tells me to, like he told me many years ago, to quit doing some things I was doing, hanging out with some of the people I was hanging out with. They were bad people, but they were religious people. But that's the problem. They were religious. And God says, you've done your work there. Now I want you to leave. Well, that was a hard decision because they were my friends. But I did it, and guess what? When I walked away from it, as difficult as it was, it led me to, and I went toward the direction God wanted for my future. So, Lord, I thank you for opening up Daryl Paul's eyes, God, in deeper levels, Father, of your word, that he will daily take the bread that you give him, his obedience to you every day, and doing what you want him to do and not doing the things you don't want him to do, and walking in that pathway, God, that he's going to never, not once, come short of the glory or come short of walking in the fulfillment of the purpose you have for him, which is glory for him, the glory to God. The purpose you created for him, God, is glory. Sin is coming short of that glory, or making wrong decisions, you know, doing what I want to do. May not be necessarily a really bad, horrible thing, maybe a religious thing. But God says, choose my path. The light of my word puts a light on your path. Amen. I thank you, Lord, for that, the revelation of the word for my brother, God. In Jesus' name, you're blessing him, fulfilling him, bringing him into that true light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of fellowship with Jesus. Amen. All right, Nicole, thank you, Lord, for Nicole. God, I thank you, Jesus. You know, basically the same thing. It's like I see guys, you know, like you making decisions every day to, you know, like changing the way you look at, oh, I started seeing people in a whole different way. Why? Because I said, God, give me your eyes. So, you know, I don't know if you're able to hear that message that we gave not very long ago, but Ephesians 1, where Paul says that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we may have the knowledge of him, right? Having a knowledge of him, Nicole, as you know already, is seeing things the way he sees them. In other words, we yield to him, we grow in him, and what he does, he gives us his eyes. His eyes are like his desires. We start desiring what his will is without even trying. Now we want to do it. Seeing things the way he sees them is how we go the direction God wants us to go, how we see things. You know, so having the eyes of your understanding enlightened is that your eyes, my eyes, are open to how God sees where I'm at right now, what I'm doing, what I'm not doing. You know, sometimes what we've been doing has been perfect, but he says to Abraham, he says, now you're going to leave your mother and father, and you're going to go to a country, I'm going to show you. So he left. I mean, it wasn't that he was doing anything wrong. It's just that God called him to a whole other level, to a whole other place. He said, I'm calling you to a country that you've never seen or never known. I'm going to lead you and guide you then. So he got up, and he obeyed, and he walked, right? And when he did, you know, God guided him toward his future. And so I thank you, Lord, for the future word tonight, that you're opening up Nicole's eyes more and more than like mine and like Daryl Paul's. God, that you're opening up our eyes so we can see things the way you look at them. I look at it like, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, everybody's done that thing. It's just a cool thing. What's wrong with it? And God says, he opens our eyes, says, but I want you to see it in a different way. If you're going to go where I'm going, you can't do what they're doing. It's not evil. It's not bad. It's just not for you. Because I'm calling you to a new place, a higher place. So you cast your eyes upon Jesus, and you start seeing the things that he wants you to change, you know, walk into, walk away from, whatever the thing is. And that's what Abraham did. And he moved into finally getting to the promised land. It was a long walk, but it's a long walk. Back then, they walked everywhere, right? That's amazing. Anyway, okay. Walking with God, and all of a sudden he was caught up. Enoch was caught up. I don't know what that's about, but praise God.
All right,
2-1-4-6, am I talking with Trump, please?
646, am I talking with Trump, please?
Hey, Randy, it's Tance and Tanisha from Texas, and please pray for Zena, too.
Zena, okay. Yes, thank you, Lord, for Zena. We thank you, Jesus, for Zena. God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercies and your grace, God, that the irritations and all the frustrations, God. Sometimes you allow frustrations and crazy things going on in Zena's life to change direction, to change you know, the way that she sees things, to open up her eyes to move forward, to move on, and to not keep looking to the past, and to basically to have her eyes open so she can see a future for herself. Because if you can't see a future for yourself, you can't walk into it. So I ask you, Lord, for opening her blinded eyes, let her see. It's like you open up my blinded eyes every day. Sometimes I'm blinded to things. And you open up my eyes, I go, it's like they were walking on the road to Emmaus. They were walking right with Jesus and didn't even know it. They ate bread together with Jesus, broke bread with Jesus, ate bread. All of a sudden, their eyes were open. It's Jesus. It's amazing how eating bread can open up your eyes. That one is amazing. But if the whole Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter 3, 17, I said it's not 17 times, the word eat, 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 and eaten, and ate is in there. It's amazing what eating does. And I thank the Lord that she will eat of you. You will open her eyes, God, so she can move on, so she can move into her future, God, and quit digging around in the past, trying to find her future in the past. Instead, let her eyes be turned upon you, Jesus, and give her the grace to do it in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, and for Terrence and Tanisha, God, we thank you for Terrence tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for giving him the strength in his gut, in his belly area, Father, to the courage and the strength, Lord, to stand firm on the Word of God, that he's going to find himself knowing more and more about the Word, the revelation of the Word of God. You're going to find yourself standing in the Word and on the Word, and the Word standing in you, standing. You're going to find the Word standing up in you, because in these last days, in these times, in these things we're going for, going through, and going, the things that we're going for, and those we're going through, because we're going for something, right? We're heading for something. We're heading for Canaan. We're heading for that place, and we're going through things. So the pressure is whether we make it or not successfully. Like he told Joshua, is meditating on the Word, meditating on the Word. So I thank you, Lord, for that revelation of the Word for my brother. In Jesus' name, opening his eyes, God, so he can stand on the Word like he's never stood on the Word before. In Jesus' name, he will stand. He will stand. I see you weeping, going, God, if it hadn't been for your Word, I wouldn't have stood. Your Word stood me up. It stood. Your Word stood me up. And I thank you, Lord, that your Word stood me up. Wow, I've never heard that before. Your Word stood me up. Like, woo! Like, it wasn't even because of you, right, brother? It was because the Lord stood you up. You know, like Paul, the grace of God. Yeah, the grace of God was sufficient. Man, I feel the anointing on that one. My God, the loha pale pincheko baba, parijo ponche nikoroha. Yes, and thank you, Lord, for Tanisha, God, tonight, God, and the tears and the worship, the worshiping tears. God, the tears of worship and the tears of brokenness before you, God, bowing down to you, not like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They wouldn't bow to the idol. They wouldn't bow to the idol. Sometimes the whole test is about will you bow to the idol or not, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I mean, they just said, oh, king, you know, we love you, man. You're our king. But, you know, we're not going to bow to that idol. We can't do it. Is against us. Even if God didn't deliver us, we will not bow. But I thank you, Jesus, for giving that extra strength, God, that power that you gave Daniel and you gave Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to stand up and be willing to be thrown to the fire and not bow down, that even if our God doesn't deliver us, you know, if God delivers me, then I'll sin. But I thank you, Lord, that your people are learning. Tanisha's getting more and more and more to that place, God, stronger and stronger and heavier, that even if my God doesn't deliver me, I will not bow. So hallelujah. And we thank you, God, that you did deliver them. You didn't deliver them from the fire. You took them in the fire and delivered them in the midst of the fire. You burned off the bondages that they were bound with by the king. Wow, the fire burned it off. Amen. Wow. Ropes, right, that they bind us up to. They bound Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego up, tied them up. I can't imagine what that was like. And so when they got into the fire, the Spirit of God was so strong on them that all it did was, all the fire did was just burn away. It killed the guy that tried to threw him in there. And the guys that threw them in there, I think it was more than one, but then the rope that tied around them burned it right up, man. Burned it up, and they walked out going, man, got a promotion. Thank you for the promotions, God, that come from you. Amen. All right, 325-280, who want to talk to your friend, please?
Chris from Texas.
All right, Chris. Thank you, Chris. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I will condemn. You know, Satan uses condemnation. I take communion about for every day. And And so I find that, you know, condemnation is a powerful tool. And many times we live under condemnation thinking it's the Holy Spirit. I did it for years. I think I still probably do some of that and don't even know it. But God is opening my eyes, Chris, to show me that the difference between condemnation and conviction of the Holy Spirit, right? Because I'm very tough on myself. I really want to live for God like you. I really want to be right. I want to really want to do the right thing, and I'm willing to pay the price. I'll do whatever you tell me. You know, I hear you saying this. I'll do whatever you tell me, God. Just tell me. Just show me. And I thank you, Lord, that in Chris's life, God, that that's the strength to, you know, to bow to your Holy Spirit, and to know that that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, no weapon, and to rise up in an, I see you rising up in an aggressive fashion, and moving toward and moving. Sometimes we do defense, and then sometimes we do offense. And so sometimes we find out that when the enemy is doing condemnation on us, or judgment on us, or trying to get us to judge ourselves. You know what the enemy does, Chris, he tries to get us to judge ourselves. Like, oh, you know, you're never going to be, you're not called, you don't have this, you don't have that. You know that. Come on, Chris, wake up. Yeah, sober up. You know, and he tries to get us to judge ourselves with his judgment. And that's why we have to get on the offensive and start rise up and say, I have to do this once in a while. Sometimes I feel demonic inspired people, may even be good Christian people who are just like Peter, inspired by the devil at the moment, trying to correct me with their own correction, don't realize the devil's trying to do it through them. I have to rise up sometimes with those people and say, and you know, I condemn every tongue that rises against me. And if I don't do it, it'll whoop me. It'll whoop you, man. This is real. This is real stuff. You have to rise up and get offensive, on the offensive and aggressive, not to their face or necessarily to them, but in the spirit realm, I will say out loud, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I condemn you. And I get aggressive, man. I condemn you, tongues. I condemn you, judgment. You will not get me to judge myself, because if the devil can get you to judge yourself wrong, Chris, and get you to tell yourself that you're something that you're not or whatever it is, you know, and lie to you about you're not going to make this, you're not going to be that, you're going to, and start lying to you. If he can get you to judge yourself like that, then he'll defeat you. And those words are strong. This is no game, as you know. And as you rise up, brother, because that call in your life, the devil's out to take the word. It's like in that parable, the wheat and the sower sowed the seed. It was a persecution that was after the word. The judgmental spirit come in, trying to get us to judge ourselves with Satan's judgment, with what he thinks about us, what he's lying to us about, to get us to literally judge ourselves. We have to rise up in Jesus' name, because if we don't rise up and fight it, we just have to go, oh, no problem, I just turn the other cheek. No, in this situation, there's some situations where you get aggressive. You get the sword out. I've had dreams where I've had this sword, this huge, huge sword that no man can handle. I'm just a sword of the spirit. And when that sword goes to swinging, brother, demons start crying, and they don't want to come anywhere near you. And every once in a while, that sword goes to swinging on some certain situations. And believe me, those demons, when I'm doing that, are crying. It'll be the same thing with you, bro. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Because he tries to get us to judge ourselves with his judgment. That's why it says, every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I will condemn. Yeah. Wow, and then this is my heritage. It goes on to say, and this is my heritage from the Lord. Amen. I'm sure you can Google that scripture if you don't know what. I'm sure you know what's that anyway. But anyway, that was strong. It's like I see you getting your sword out of the sheath and going to work, man. And sometimes I just, there's pressure going on, this and that's going on. I just kind of go on. I don't even mess with it. I don't do it. But sometimes, you know, when I feel an aggressive attack coming directly at me, and it's demonic, then people can say all kinds of things, and people can start a whirlwind that will whirlwind around you. But I learned to look at those whirlwinds and, you know, I just get my wind, I just get my breath and go and blow them away. You know, it's like nothing. It didn't used to be like nothing, but now it's like nothing. But when this is a demonic attack of judgment, the judgment is very strong. Judgment is make you guilty or not guilty, right? Right. Guilty or not. You know you ain't never going to. You know, he lies to you. and get you to judge yourself. Once he gets you to judge yourself, then he did. He got you to judge yourself. That's why we have to come against those words. Every word, no weapon. No weapon. That's what the word I'm trying to get. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I condemn it. And brother, watch the things begin to fall. Amen. In Jesus' name, they will fall. They will fall. Amen. And I may not be going with you right now. I don't know what's happening with you now. Maybe tomorrow, the future. But you're going to know how to handle it. You can't just brush those things off. I brush a lot of things off. I just like dust off like dust off my, you know, on my shirt, just like a little lamp, just kind of dust it off in some battles I go through. But sometimes, you know, the Lord says, right, get your sword out and whack away at that one. So that's what I do. All right, 863-268. Can I talk to you, Grant, please?
Hey, Randy, it's Charles and Nikki from Florida. And could you pray for Mom, my mom?
Sue, okay. Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, all right. I think I forgot to pray for her last night. Yeah, because we got, I got a little, on the wild side, I think, last night. I can't remember exactly, but wow. Then I forgot to pray for her. So thank you for reminding me of that, about that. Lord, we pray for precious Sue tonight, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that everything she's going through, that you, God, that you give her the strength. That you, I'm just going to believe, God, that he's going to use all this stuff to break. You know, that's the, we got to get, God's after fruit. You know, Nikki, you know that, God's after fruit. And sometimes some of the things that he lets happen to us, which look really hard and harsh, is because we're very hard people. You know, I'm a very hard person to deal with. When I'm really strongly believe something that it may not be right? I mean, God has to really, really deal with me and break me, and then he comes gently takes me by the hand. It's amazing. When he deals with me, it's like rip-roared, snorting, taking me down, wrestling me, you know, almost breaking my arm, so it seems like. But then when it comes to actually teaching me a new thing, he just takes me by the hand like a child. Once I'm broken, then he takes me by the hand. He says, now that you're broken, Randy, you know, come on, I'm going to show you some things. And I just like, okay, Lord, I'm ready now. Let's go. So we want brokenness. We want fruit. We want things to produce, to cause things to move forward. Right, with her and with her life, with her situations. Lord, we thank you. We pray for her during this time, this hard time, God, that you will use this to bless her. You will use it to bless her and aggress her in her aggressive areas, to aggress her, God. Just like you do me, I'm a very aggressive person in ways. When I get aggressive, I can really be aggressive. And other times, I'm just like laid back, and I don't care. You can do whatever you want to do, blah, blah, blah. But, man, when I get aggressive, I really get aggressive. And God made me that way. So God had to break all that aggressiveness and use it for his glory. And so thank you, Lord, for doing that with Sue. God, we love her. We thank you for her, Jesus. Have your mercy and your grace upon her, God, and give her the strength to show her that you're trying to reveal your love to her, that she is loved of you. She is chosen of you. She's been chosen. It's in her blood to be chosen by you, God. She just always never knew. She's like some of those rebellious teenagers that we raise them up in church all their life or whatever, and then they wake up one day and go, I don't know if I believe any of this stuff or not, and they start kind of rebelling. You know? But it's really not rebellion. It's more of, you know, they got to find the truth for themselves. So I thank you, Lord, that Sue will find the truth for herself. Not what Nikki says, not what Charles says, not what anybody else says, not what the preacher says, what God says to her. So it will become very personal and very intimate to her and beautiful to her because she wants the truth, as Jesus saying, and she will receive the truth. Sometimes, like Randy Chandler, God has to break me through the circumstances of my life so he can use me, because it's all about fruit. It's all about the future. It's all about getting me ready for what he wants me to do. And if he can't use me, then what does he do with me? Not a lot. So we want a lot to be done with Sue, to use God. I can just see her like a fire evangelist, you know, getting on fire for Jesus and telling people, just like, you know, like do like I used to, man. When I tell people about Jesus, so I just want a Spanish lady, poor Spanish lady in Kmart many years ago, back in the Kmart days, you know, she wouldn't. When I kept asking her if anybody ever told her about Jesus, she wouldn't answer me. I mean, I was surprised at myself. I grabbed her cart, and I didn't know her. She didn't know me. I'm in Kmart, right, in the shoe department. Never forget. I grabbed her cart, And she looked at me and started crying. Like, I wasn't sure what she was crying for. Was she scared or what? I said, ma'am, you know, do you know Jesus? And, yeah, so that's how aggressive that God can get. You know, he uses me in aggressive ways sometimes and can get people's attention. So I think the Lord used her like that in a beautiful way. Precious, precious Sue, Jesus. That's how you see her. It's precious Sue. Amen. Your love and compassion, God. You break us to make us great. That's what you do. Break her and make her great, God, with your love. Amen. All right. Use her and not abuse her. Right? Sometimes we think God's going to abuse us. He doesn't abuse us ever. He gets us ready to be used so he can really, really bless us big time. Amen. Thank you for Nikki, God. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing on her life, God, to help pray the right prayers. Praying the right prayers is so important that if we don't pray the right prayers, they don't get answered, right? So we wonder why prayers aren't getting answered. Sometimes it's because we've got to pray the right prayer. It's like praying for Sue, you know, praying that God use all this to break her instead of just praying that it all goes away. You know, sometimes that could, you know, bring her to great healing, could bring, but either way, it's to bear fruit in her life. In Jesus' name, hang on a second. So thank you, Lord, for using Nikki to pray the right prayers to, you know, Jesus sometimes cast out devils. Sometimes he just healed the sick. You know, sometimes it had nothing to do with the devil. It just had to do with healing. He didn't cast the spirit of leprosy out of him. He prayed for them and cleansed them and washed them. Sometimes it's about being cleansed and washed. Of course, the devil's involved in a lot of things, but we, you know, got to pray the right prayer. And Jesus would have said, leprosy, come out. Then they would have just kept walking and never been healed because that wasn't what did it. In that particular case, it was cleansing them. He cleansed them and washed them of their sins. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. For Charles, God, I thank you, Lord, for giving Charles strength, God, in his mind, to give him strength, God, to stand up and not compromise in any of those things, God, that you're giving him strength to stand on the word, not just in the word that we've always known, but the word, new words, new understanding, new revelation of Jesus, God, new things, you know, that spirit of compassion inside of him, to see people like you see them, Lord. Jesus made friends with sinners because he saw them differently than the religious people did. And I thank you, Lord, that he sees them like you saw them, Jesus, so he can reach them like you reached them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 214-288. You want to talk to your friend, please?
Father Randy, this is Daniel in Texas and Carmen in Texas.
All right, D.C., Daniel and Carmen, D.C.T. Oh, y'all, the D.C.T. friends. The D.C.T. friends. All right, Daniel and Carmen from Texas. All right, thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for a new energy, God, and a new excitement and a new freedom, Father. I thank you for a new freedom that you're bringing in their lives, God, that you're connecting them together for that friendship, God, to encourage and build one another and have someone to share with and talk to and say things and talk about things that you can't talk about things with anybody else, that they'll be able to communicate in that fashion, God, that they can be to watch each other's back and, you know, protect each other and watch over each other, God, as the armor bearers that you had in the Old Testament, like Jonathan and his armor bearer, the famous one. Thank you, Lord, that they do things together. They take territory together. They, you know, minister things together, just like Jonathan and his armor bearer went up and did a very miraculous thing. They went up, they climbed up a cliff, and the enemies were right there, and two of them were going to take on a whole slew of people. They took courage from God. They took courage in each other. And his armor bearer said, whatever you do, Jonathan, I'm with you. I mean, that takes a lot for someone to do that. Whatever you say, whatever you think, I'm with you. Wow. And what better person can you have with you than somebody who says that and believes that? We thank the Lord for that in Jesus' name. So in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for opening up that place, that dimension of the Spirit, God, of seeing their purpose of the friendship and their calling, God, and their ability to talk about things that they can't talk about things with anybody else, sharing things they can't share with anybody else. And that's called intimate. That's called intimacy. And the beauty of that intimacy, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for that, God. I thank you for that blessing in their life. In Jesus' name, let them be used to keep each other protected and watched over in Jesus' name, and communication and trust in Jesus' name. So they can do the work of God that you want them to do in the name of the Lord. Amen. In Jesus' name, do mighty things in God. Hallelujah. All right. Awesome. All right. 769-220, you want to talk to your friend, please?
It's Andrika and Chris in Georgia.
All right. Y'all are still awake, huh? Awesome. All right. Andrika and Chris, thank you, Lord, for Andrika and Chris. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for that that exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or think or even imagine. God, that realm of the Spirit is open for those who will choose it and understand that it is for them. And I thank you, Lord, that Chris and Andrika, Lord, they're going to rise up in Jesus' name. And when other things seem to be, you know, other people, other things, the world, the globe, the church, the whatever, seems to be going the wrong direction, that they're going to go the right direction, God. They're going to go with you. They're going to choose to be separated and sanctified and set apart unto you, like Israel was sanctified, God, because they chose to be sanctified and set apart. And Israel was that very thing. God was able to use them to show himself. So God is looking for people like Andrika and Chris to show himself mighty in many different ways. And I thank you, Lord, for opening that up where they will be used, God, to show you will sanctify them and set them apart for your use. It doesn't matter what everybody else believes. You know, what is God telling you? What's God saying to you? It may be completely different from everyone else, but God's gonna use that thing to sanctify you, to set you apart, to say, hey, look what I'm going to do with Andrika. Look what I'm going to do with Chris. Look what I'm going to do with those who allow me to give them something, you know, give them the truth, give them the thing that is different from other people. 99% of the people may go this way, but Elijah the prophet went a whole different direction, and he was the one that ended up being in the blessing. And God using him to even slay the prophets, to slay those, what was it, 500 prophets that he slew with the sword? Can you imagine that? Having a church and going out and slaying people? I mean, that's crazy. But in the spirit realm, we do that. And I thank you, Lord, that because you set him apart. He was not afraid to be separated. He was not afraid to be, oh, you're just trying to be different than everybody else. Well, I'm not trying to be anything. I'm just doing what God says. And what God is saying is different than what everybody else is saying, then that's what I'm going to do. And God has set you. I know if you're going to be a part of PGN, people are a part of PGN, at least to a certain degree, have to be willing to be like, hey, you know, Brother Randy, you know, God's using this whole thing with PGN, we're like going in a whole different direction than a lot of people are going. But look what God is doing. He's confirming it all along the way. So what's God doing? He's saying, hey, I got some people that will follow me no matter what. And I thank you, Jesus, that Andrika and Chris are going to follow you no matter what, God, in Jesus' name. That they're going to be willing to be different. They're going to be willing to not be joining in with what everybody else is doing and compromising and doing whatever. But they're going to obey your voice and let you show that that God, you have someone that you can flow through and do whatever you want and do something different and not be afraid or ashamed of the gospel, of the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen, in Jesus' name. And that they're not ashamed of that. They're not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. And I thank you, Lord, that because they're not ashamed of the gospel, the power of God's going to protect them. The power of God's going to prosper them. The power of God's going to move upon them. The power of God's going to show them new things. The new wine, and not the old, but the new, that you're moving into the new wineskin, new understanding, drinking a new wine. We're not drinking of the old wine, we're drinking, there's something brand new going on. And God, I thank you that they're not ashamed to pass out a whole container full of water, because Jesus said to, knowing that it could embarrass them, but knowing that they trusted Jesus, that it's going to turn to wine. And when they poured it out, it turned to wine. Why? Because they trusted Jesus. Amen. I thank you, Lord, for that that new wine thing you're doing, the new thing, the new taste, the new flavor, the higher quality that's saved for the end. Amen. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. All right. Where am I going? I don't know. All right. 912-398. Who am I talking to, friend, please? 912-318, who am I talking to, please? All right, 912-318, are you there? Oh, they're losing another there. 912-398. Oh, that's Paulette. Yes, thank you, Lord, for Paulette tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you tonight in Jesus' name. Yes, thank you for our friend Paulette. God, I thank you, Lord, for your love for her. God, I thank you for the love ministry. I thank you for that ministry in her that is to show love, to give love. Sometimes love, and people who know what real love is, real love will tell you the truth to save you, to help you, even if they don't agree with it, even if they disagree, even if you're being willing to be ostracized and put aside for telling the love truth. The love truth is a truth that tells people, you know, even if they want to hear one thing, you know it's going to destroy them, but you tell them something else, risking the relationship, knowing that it's love, the love truth. You tell things in love. You do what you do out of love. And I thank you, Lord, that Paulette, God, is motivated by love, that she's doing things by love, that the love message inside of her is beautiful. She is willing to lay down her life for love, God. She's not going to just say things to people to please them. She's going to be nice about it. She's going to be kind about it. But she's going to say it because she loves them and she knows she wants them to have the truth and to have love. And one day they're going to rise up and say, blessed is that woman. Blessed is that woman. Paulette is a blessed woman because she told us the truth. She told us exactly what's going on. And now we wish we could just go over there and give her a hug and give her a kiss. Maybe we will, to thank her for what she's done and said. And Jesus' name, she's prayed for us. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for those rewards for her, God. You're going to reward Paulette, Father, for her love for you, Jesus, for the works that you've done through her, in Jesus' name, and her prayers. Amen and amen. All right. 912-318, who am I talking to you from, please? All right. Thank you, Jesus, tonight for Sandra and Robert. Well, we thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the love of God. We thank you for the power of God, God, you've given them power. Give them power to influence God. And that power to influence God is going to be used in a mighty way to influence people. Sometimes it's not about how many people we influence, Sandra. It's about the right person we influence. Like when Stephen was stoned, how he blessed Paul for killing him. He said, God don't hold it against him. He didn't have a clue that the person he was influencing was going to change everything. So God's going to use you to, it's not about how many people we change, but that one person that gets changed by what we do, what God uses us to do, is going to be what's going to be looked at. It's not how many people, it's the power and the influence that came out of the one or two that we did minister to, that we did talk to, that we did share with God in Jesus' name. It's not about the amount, it's about the measure. And I thank you, Jesus, it's about the percentage, Father, of the people. And so I thank you, Lord, for the people that you use her to touch, God, in Jesus' name, that it's not just about how many we touch, how many we touch. We can touch a lot of people, but only if one or two are changed, and that one or two changed millions or changed hundreds of thousands or changed the world in some fashion or another and is used mightily by God, then we go, thank you, Jesus, Lord, thank you for the one person you have me influence, the person that influenced Billy Graham. Look at Billy Graham, that he changed the whole world. And I thank you, Lord, for the people that she's influenced, in Jesus' name, and Robert, Lord. I thank you for Robert, God, that you give him that prayer support and that strength and that honor. That God's going to show you that honor is, when you honor and live in that honor realm, God, you know, God wants men to be honored, and we have a craving to be honored, and I thank you, Lord, that you show him how to receive the honor that does come to him, and that he'll recognize it as honor and see it as honor. Sometimes when people honor us, they do it in some strange ways, But honor is honor, and I thank you, Lord, for he will see that he's worthy of that honor, because he's when a man gets honored, it causes him to be a man. And the more he gets that, the bigger and the bolder and the stronger and the more humble and more broken that he becomes, probably before you, just like Paul the Apostle. He was a mighty apostle, but he became more and more broken through that thorn in the flesh. And I thank you, Jesus, for that, for the things that have been hard and difficult for Robert. I'm using those things to cause him to be strong, like he did Paul, to trust in you more and more. A real man is somebody who trusts in God, not somebody who can be, you know, strong and bold in the flesh, in the world. But like Paul the Apostle, he became bold for the Lord, not just for religion. And I thank you, Lord, for Robert, God, to strengthen him and give him that grace. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. All right, 803-991, who I talk to you from, please?
Hi, Randy, it's Angela, South Carolina.
Hey, Angela, South Carolina. All right, good to have you tonight. All right, Angela, thank you. God, your grace is sufficient, God. And you start showing Angela your grace, your unmerited, undeserved grace. Lord, the things that we can't seem to get going on yet, because we're not there yet, that you begin to develop things in her, in the creative part of her, developing things in her, thinking in her mind, that she will begin to yield and humble herself, Lord, more and more all the time, showing her how to humble herself. Because sometimes it's God showing us how to humble ourselves. We humble ourselves sometimes in our own way, and it's not really, God isn't really able to bless it because it's not, because he shows us how, what humility is in his eyes. And I thank you, Lord, that Angela has a great desire to be humble, to be used of you. For the humble shall be exalted. If you humble yourself before the Lord in due season, he will exalt you. And I thank you, Lord, for showing her how to humble herself before you, your way, the way you do it, the way you want it done. And so that her humbling herself will create greatness, will create influence. In Jesus' name, and I thank you, Lord, for Angela, God, that you will break loose in her those creative freedom thinking thoughts. Creative freedom thinking thoughts. That was a hard one to say. Creative freedom thinking thoughts. And teach her how to flow with that and how to move with it, where her mind just comes into agreement with what you're saying and doesn't try to overwork it or underwork it. Just like we all do, we all try to, our minds always trying to overwork or underwork it. And I thank you, Lord, that she will find that place of serenity, of yieldedness to you, God, to where you can say and do and take her anywhere that you want her to go, even places that she might even be afraid to go there, that you will take her there by the Spirit, and she will follow you because she trusts you. It's about trusting you. How can you take her places, God? How can you take us places if we don't trust you? Because you go places that no man will go, that angels fear to tread. Lord, I thank you that you'll be able to take her places because she trusts you in Jesus' name. Not about whether she's a mighty warrior or not. It's that she's following you, and you are the mighty warrior. And that makes her a mighty warrior because she's trusting you as her mighty warrior in Jesus' name. Amen. That you will take her. She will allow you to take her anywhere you want her to go, Father, even if she doesn't know where that's at. Just like you did with Abraham. You said, come on, I'm going to take your place. I'm going to show you as we go. Amen. Amen. That's a powerful ability to just follow the Lord and trust him. Abraham was a great man of faith. All right, 901-501. You want to talk to your friend, please?
It's Daniel and Debbie from Memphis, Tennessee. And pray for Basil, please.
Pray for who?
Basil.
Basil?
Yes, sir.
Basil. Okay, let's make sure I get it right. Thank you. All right, thank you, Daniel and Debbie, for Basil. All right, thank you, Lord, for Basil. Thank you, Lord, for Basil tonight, God, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for opening up Basil's eyes to see, to be able to rest and know that you are able to take care of Basil and minister to Basil, God, that Basil will understand that if they will trust you, they will believe in you, that you will start the process of leading them and guiding them into all truth. And the truth is what we all need. The truth is what sets us free. And I thank you, Lord, for the truth that will set Basil free, that will show Basil the way to go, and which way, what way to think and what way to believe, and that Basil will believe that and know that and walk in that and humble themselves and say, I don't know anything, God. If that, this you show me, I know a lot of things, but the things I know are just what I know. But I don't know anything that's pleasing, would do anything valuable. I want to know what you know, God. Show me what you know. And that Basil will seek your heart to know you in Jesus' name, to find answers for things, to find answers and cures for things in Jesus' name, and find ways to fix things, heal things, amen, and deliver things. Amen. All right. And thank you for Daniel, Lord, and Debbie tonight, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for opening up that place in their heart, God, function in under the pressure, and know that, that, God, you're with them and that you're going to work those things out together. And in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for confirming to them that you are leading them, that you are guiding them, that you are showing them the way. And that you will not fail them, you will not leave them nor forsake them, God. You will lead them and guide them into all truth, Father, in Jesus' name. That Daniel will know when the Lord said, "This is the path, go in that path," that he will find that path and go in that path, knowing that even if he doesn't understand it, doesn't know what it means exactly, that he will trust you and know that he will go in the path of the Lord that you show him, that your word is a lamp unto his feet, a light unto his path. But many times, the things that we miss are the things that, that nobody really knows a whole lot about. But God's saying, if you'll trust me, I'll take you places where nobody's ever been to take care of things that's never been taken care of before. So thank you, Jesus, that his faith to, like a pioneer, to be able to pioneer and walk in new things and be able to pioneer, you know, walk in areas that nobody's ever been before, at least not in our generation. In Jesus' name, you will take them, God, places that they've never been, to discover things they've never known before, to share it with the world, to help the world out, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 402-650, who am I talking to, you come, please? Are you there? I think it's Melanie, John, and yes, Melanie. Thank you, Lord, for John. Thank you, Lord, for blessing them, God. We thank you for opening their eyes, God, to see the future. Father, that you have something greater than what they know, that, that their faithfulness to you is so important. Their faithfulness to you, Father, is everything. And it's not about doing everything perfect, doing everything right. It's about being faithful and about getting up and being persistent and sticking with what God is telling you to do. And as you do that, God says, well, I found you faithful, so I'm going to take you places, you know, that I wouldn't be able to take you before. God finds somebody faithful, like the one guy who did his talent, you know, he did it out of fear. So, Lord, I take authority over all fear. They will not hide their talents. They will not hide the things you've given them. They will just out of fear that they might lose it or might not be able to do the right thing with it. God, they will take confidence in it, because God doesn't, like it says in that parable, that he gave the five talents to the one who knew he could handle it. He had the ability to multiply it. The other guy gave to two, said he had, you know, he had the ability to, you know, work with two. So he gave them things according to their own abilities. So, Lord, I thank you that John and Melissa will learn to work with the abilities that you've given them, God, and see the things you've given them, not try to do things that are not theirs, but to do things that you've given them. Because what you've given them is enough. What you've given them, God, is enough to be blessed. What you've given them enough is enough to move to the future and to have future blessings and have blessings now in the future in Jesus' name. And opening up that heart, God, well, they will trust you, Jesus, and know that if you don't lead them, they're not going to be led. If you don't guide them, they're not going to be guided. Lord, they're going to trust you, God. They're going to believe in you in Jesus' name and understand that in their heart that Faithfulness is everything to you, God. You're looking for faithfulness. Faithful, be faithful. Be faithful, be faithful. And if we're faithful to one another, if we're faithful to God, we're faithful to, you know, when God tells me to go do something with somebody, I'm faithful to them, no matter whether I agree with everything they say or not. Right? So I thank you, Lord, for that spirit of faithfulness in John and Melissa, God, that you open them up to that, Jesus, and teach them your ways. Amen. They can be blessed and highly favored, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 303-368. You want to talk to me, friend, please?
Hey, Randy. It's Mike.
Hey, Mike. All right, my brother. Good to have you tonight. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Mike. Thank you, Lord, for your compassion, Father, in him. Your compassion that becomes very aggressive. Sometimes compassion is very aggressive. Sometimes compassion goes in and casts the devil out. It looks very violent. It looks very, you know, uncomfortable. But your compassion, God, brings forth fruit. Your compassion is always about bringing fruit. Whatever Mike does, God, it's all about bringing fruit. If we don't bring fruit, what good does it do? He even prunes us sometimes to bring forth more fruit. And I thank you, Jesus, that the fruit you bring isn't just, you know, that we do everything perfect. But God, it's about doing what you say and persisting with that and being able to be aggressive when you got to be aggressive and be able to be compassionate and tender when we need to be compassionate and tender. But compassion sometimes can also hate evil. Compassion hates evil. And God's love hates evil because of what it does to people, what it does to our nation, what it does to, you know, God's kingdom. And we thank you, Jesus, that there be no compromise, God, that Mike will find himself in that in compassion and no compromise. Because people do compromise, think that they compromise, God, that so as you cause Mike to move in compassion, God, he will have compassion for there's been compromise and help people to become strong. And not compromise, because God hates compromising, because it opens us up to, you know, missing the mark and coming short. And I thank you, Lord, that you will help people and go in compassion. Sometimes compassion can be very strong. Sometimes it's very tender. Sometimes it's very aggressive. Depends on what God is doing. And so I thank you, Lord, for giving him that strength, God, to deal with the things that have been compromised, the people that compromise, that do their own thing, and to go in with strong compassion and deliver them from that compromising things that bring nothing but failure. So he will help people be a success, like Joseph did. Joseph's main thing was, he was so blessed for, is that he made everywhere he went, everything he did, successful. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. He could be trusted with everything and anything. Amen. They said, just get Joseph in there. Just let him do, just let him have it all. He can do it. You can trust him. And I thank you, Lord, for Mike, God, and the spirit of Mike of quality, God, in his life. It's a beautiful thing, God, in Jesus' name. Open it up and let him walk in it like never before, Father, in the name of the Lord. Amen. All right, 915-929. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Carmen from Texas.
Hey, Carmen. Thank you, Lord, for Carmen. Thank you, Lord, for that personal thing going on, God, that you, you know, we got into the scripture one night. I don't know if you're able to listen to that teaching, but we're talking about how that the scripture was talking about how that we come, prophecy, personal ministry is, you know, is face, it's the face of the word, and bringing the word, you know, like when a person looks into the mirror, they see themselves. Right, so when they see themselves, they're able to see. Look in the mirror of the law, the mirror of, you know, liberty, whatever it is, and be able to see themselves. So they can go, man, I need to fix this, I need to fix that, and be able to look in the mirror, and see to their face. You would use Carmen to help people look in the mirror and see their face and go, man, I got this stuff all over my face, and everybody sees it, but I didn't see it. I've been blinded to it. It's embarrassing. What's going on? Yeah, and God, you use her to show people that have things, look in that perfect law of liberty, look to the mirror of the law, of the word, and see, you know, what they really look like and what God looks at them like, to be able to see, they can be able to see what they look like in Jesus' name and in God's eyes and what God wants them to look like and where they're headed and where they can go. And, So they will have a vision and a purpose and to know that they're not just kind of flopping around, but they're actually going somewhere, God, in Jesus' name. But this thing is about getting, bearing fruit and causing people to bear fruit and grow and move forward. in Jesus' name, and not just stand still and do much of nothing and hope it all goes away. Hallelujah. But to help people confront things, to look at themselves and go, okay, I'm like this. I can be like this. This is what I can be like. So God, help me. Because people need to be able to see themselves. Sometimes they can't see them. Many times my things, I can't see myself the way God really sees me. He says, Randy, you know, you got this really messed up over here, and I got something really great for you. So look at yourself so you can see that you need to change. And when you see that you need to change, then you're going to want to change because you see that I've got something greater for you. Amen? And they look in the mirror of not only to see their weaknesses, but they look in the mirror and see where God has taken them, the beauty of it and the glory of it. So we help them face things, and we help them see their future. That's what the personal ministry is for, a lot of it. All right. Cool. All right. 612-805. You want to talk to Ruth, please?
Hi, Randy. This is Joyce from Minnesota.
Hi, Joyce. Joyce, good to have you tonight. All right. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, it's good. I'll pray for Blossom and Beverly.
Okay, say it one more time. I think I went a little bit too fast there. Go ahead. Blossom?
And Beverly.
Beverly
and
Blossom and Beverly,
and
okay. And Hope and Faith, okay.
All right, yeah, thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Blossom, Beverly, Hope and Faith. Sound like a revival. Sound like a teaching or something. We're blossoming with hope and faith in the land of Beverly. Thank you, Joyce, in Jesus' name. And of course, we got Joyce, rejoice, Joyce and rejoice, and hope and faith. And we have hope and faith. We rejoice and we blossom with rejoicing in the land of Beverly. Hallelujah. And the beverage, we have a beverage we drink of joy. Oh, I don't want to deal with all that, but thank you, Lord, for the family tonight. God, we thank you, Jesus, for the baby dolls, for Blossom. Lord, we thank you that you've blessed Blossom, God, that Blossom can, you're training Blossom how to be a leader, how to be a good leader, how to be a leader that leads people to the promises, leads people to a better place, leads people to believe right, leads people to think right. These people to have, the right attitudes and to understand the attitude God wants us to have, no matter what the circumstances, how to forgive and how to bless and how to let go and how to believe God in Jesus' name for miracles. Amen. Use Blossom to bring that in people's lives so that people's deserts will blossom, right? Like in the wilderness, it says that the wilderness shall blossom because of the glory of God. Amen. In Jesus' name, let her bring blossoming words to people, Father. All right, for Beverly, God, we thank you for Beverly tonight. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for Beverly's heart, God, that she'll be able to find herself. She doesn't have to find herself being like anybody else. She can be like what she wants to be, what God wants her to be, and yet trying to find out what that is takes time. And I thank you, Jesus, that Blossom will find out, she's finding out who she is. She will find out that just because she's different, that means that she's special because she's different. Because she has different ideas, different ways of doing things, God, you're going to take all those different things. You're going to correct them. You're going to fix them. You're going to make them right. You're going to make them blessed. But she'll be able to have things that other people don't have because she looked at things from a different perspective. But you began to show her from your word, God, how to look at those things. And she was able to see them from a different perspective, Father, and help people that are like her to be blessed and be favored. In Jesus' name, and have a good life, and be really on top of things, be successful in the right kind of way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Hope and Faith, God, we pray for the little baby dolls. This little kids are getting older now, but thank you, Lord, for Hope. Lord, we bless Hope tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for that Hope will learn how to eat the right things emotionally, mentally, how to partake of the right things, that you will not let her eat of things that will hurt her and ruin her and destroy her. God, you will let her only eat the things. It's like with, Samson. Samson was able to only drink certain things and eat certain things and not cut his hair. Because it was a special thing God did. As long as he did it, he walked in authority and power. And I thank you, Lord, that you hope the same way. You're going to have her, there's going to be certain things she'll never be able to eat or drink, certain things you want her to eat and drink that are from you. And when she does that, God, she's going to be blessed. Amen. Eat your word. Be obedient to what you say. And watch yourself be blessed, God, and speak words over other people that will bring life to them. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. And faith, Lord, we thank you for faith tonight, God, that faith is the tenderness and faith, God, will be tender, and yet she will find herself being able to be strong and be tender at the same time, where her tenderness will be able to help fix things with people, be able to change things with people, help them get things right, help them face things, get things out in the open, and get things, get things fixed and made right. And I thank you, Lord, for that faith will be able to walk in that area, God, to help people find their place in life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for Joyce, God. Thank you, Lord, that you teach her how to rejoice, and how to remember, you know, what you've done for her and where you've taken her and where she's been and what she has for the future, God, that you have a future for her, Father, and that you're make her part of your kingdom and opening up your kingdom to her, Jesus, to where she can function in the kingdom of God with power and authority, with love and mercy, with humility and service, like the woman who had the alabaster box, who broke it and paid a high price and gave, extreme value to of herself to the Lord. That Joyce has a heart for that, God. I thank you for opening up and smelling that sweet smelling savor that comes out of her life, God, and makes an atmosphere full of the presence of God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, 111, who I talk to you from, please?
Hi, Prophet Randy, Barbara from Texas.
Oh, hey, Barbara. All right, Barbara, good to have you tonight. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for, what goes up must come down. And so we thank you, Jesus, that, you have that thing of reaping and sowing. Thank you, Lord, that, Christians think that because we're Christians that we don't reap what we sow anymore, but we do. The thing is that when we reap what we sow, if it was a negative thing, then we learn not to do that negative thing anymore. It's not like judgment on us. It's like learning. And I thank you, Lord, that Barbara walking in that, teaching that, sharing that, and knowing that in her life, that God, the things that we sow that sometimes, just mistakes we make or whatever we make, when that comes back to us, it's not to condemn us or to tell us we're not doing, but to show us, hey, now you can start planting the right seeds. And because your seed has to do with your future. So I thank you, Lord, that your seed brings you a future that's open to God, brings you a future that has God's provision in it. Because when you reap what you sow, that's a harvest. And that harvest is going to be good things. And when we do go through the process of reaping things that were kind of negative or whatever, when people reap that, not just you, but other people, When as you're teaching people and showing them how that when that comes back to them, it's not to condemn them. It's to say, hey, quit sowing that kind of stuff and you'll quit reaping that kind of stuff. Right. So it's kind of it's a teaching of love. It's a teaching of showing people, hey, the reason that comes back to you isn't to make you feel bad about what you did. It's to teach you about what you did so you can change it. And it's a law that God has made. It's a blessing. And so I thank you, Lord, that as Christians, we have that opportunity, that blessing, to be able to share with people that when you keep having the same old thing going on over and over again, just change the way what you're sowing so you can reap something different. It's what we sow. It's what we reap. And so when it comes back, we go, dear God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for showing me that. Not like, oh, my God, I can't believe that. Where's God's mercy at? No, it's a teaching thing. So I thank you, Lord, as Barbara shares it with people and helps them understand that we Christians still do reap what we sow, but the beauty of it, the God takes what was meant for evil. Sometimes God takes what we did that was wrong and brings it back to us to show us, hey, listen, this is what it looks like when you do that. So you want to change it, right? Of course you do. So let's change it together. As we teach people that and share that with people, then it'll help them understand the purpose of reaping and sowing in a whole different way than just like, you're going to reap what you sow. Like there's no purpose in it other than just going to, if you get bad, bad's going to come back on you, instead of it being a learning, growing thing. So God's using us to teach the gospel and teach the word in a way that people can understand, a purpose in everything. It's not just you did something good can come back on you. It's to learn how to do more good. Because when that good comes back, you take more of that good seed and you plant more good seed, and our harvest is bigger and bigger and bigger. And I thank you, Lord, for the harvest that Barbara has come in, God, in Jesus' name, how she teaches other people. And also when other people do things right, because you told them right, and they reap a harvest from that, you're going to share in it with them. All right, 951-966, can I talk to you from, please?
Hi, this is Regina from California.
Hey, Regina. All right, Regina, the river. Thank you, Lord, for the river of God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, Lord, we thank you for the river. When rivers do different things, they bring food. They, you know, they can be fun. They get out and swim in them. They can get them, and you can go down river. You can travel on it, and you flow with it. It can be a blessing. Also, rivers can be dangerous. And so, Lord, I thank you for all the things with and Regina's life, God, when she understands the river of life. A life can be sometimes dangerous. Life can be like a river. It can be when it's overflowing. You got to be careful, you know. You got to learn the seasons, learn how to work with things, learn what rivers can be used for. They can be used to get water, to save your life. They can get food. So we thank you, Jesus, that everything in life, in Regina's life, God, in the river, it has shown her how to reap the full benefits of the river of God, that there's so much blessing in the river of God. You know, Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are thirsty, and drink. That Regina will realize that the river inside of her is to the river of understanding, the river of love, the river of revelation, is to give people other people drink so they will not die in the wilderness. It should teach them how to get water to their camp, to teach them how to, you know, funnel water and get water to places and feed the nations and help people and bless people and make people know that God's river never runs dry. You can just learn how to tap into it and use everything that it's for. It's not just for, you know, looking at it and going, oh, isn't that pretty? The river has a lot of different functions. Lord, the river of God, the Spirit of God in her, all the different functions of the Spirit of God and all the different levels. Now, sometimes we give people a drink. We give them a good word. We give them good information, confirming, comfort them, keep them from dying or just to keep them alive. Other times we give them food. We give them food for thought. We give them food to live. We thank you, Jesus, that we give that the food and the information that Regina gives people will be like a fish. It has good oil in it, the omega-6s, all the things that are in fish, all the good things, God, the information that she gives people to bring health to people, that you called her to bring health and wellness and wholeness to people, God. And she's saying that her words have that river of life, of water flowing that cleanse and wash and supply life, God. And she's saying when people are dying for lack of love, for lack of good words, people never speak a good word over them, that she will bring the river of life to them, God, the river of hope, the river of encouragement, God, in Jesus' name. And you're going to bless her for that, God. You're going to show her all the different ways that the river of God, the power of God, the love of God, the riches of God, the blessing of God, the provision of God, all the different ways that we tap into that. And it can be used to help other people and even, you know, cause our life to be rich. Where we become known for being people of the river who never, the waters never stop. The encouragement never stops. We never run dry. We never not have a good word, a God word for people. We always got some kind of a good God word for somebody to encourage them and build them up and to give them strength to move on in their life. Amen, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for that intimacy, that relationship, God, that fellowship and that intimacy, God, you bring in her, Jesus. And that fellowship, God, that intimate fellowship, in Jesus' name, open that up and bless her with that, God, in the name of the Lord. Amen. All right. 305-200, you want to talk to your son, please?
Hi, Ricky. This is Donald and Tanya.
Hey, Donald and Tanya. All right, you guys can have your time. All right, thank you for being with us, Donald and Tanya from Florida. Thank you, Jesus, for Donald and Tanya. Thank you, Lord, for Tanya. God, I thank you, Lord, for that, for the numbers, for all the number realm, using the whole number realm for her when she sees numbers. You're going to speak to her through numbers. You're going to show her numbers, God. You're going to open up numbers to her. The Bible's full of numbers. Numbers are, you know, all over the Bible. People say, well, numbers aren't that big of a deal, but they really are. It's just interpreting the numbers the right way, understanding those numbers to mean the right thing. Sometimes the numbers can be a warning. Sometimes they can be get ready a blessing coming. So we can be able to interpret and that power to interpret things in her life, God, that you will show her how to interpret, you know, circumstances. Everybody interprets circumstances. They don't know they're doing it, but they do it. They interpret, well, I wonder how that happened. Now, it's probably because something really, whatever, negative, and they're thinking negative about it instead of, or they think positive about it when it could be, you know, they need to warn somebody. Instead of just thinking all positive about it, but it could be something that God wants them to, the circumstances are warning. Other times, it is something you want to say, hey, man, things are about to change. Things are good. Be able to interpret circumstances. If anybody could interpret people's circumstances and tell them, you know, what this means, what's going on, have hope, give them strength to get through things. That just because something bad happens to you, it's like things happened bad to Joseph. But those bad things happened to Joseph, if he didn't know it at the time, but they were God, it was a sign from God that he's taking him where he wants him to go. Even if he didn't know where he was going, God took him there anyway. And thank you, Jesus, for that place, God, in Tanya's heart and mind, to be able to interpret even their own circumstances and things, and going like, okay, God, why are we going through this hard thing? Is it because something great's on its way, or do we need to correct something? To be able to interpret things and understand what the purpose of it is, God, and you show her the purpose of things in Jesus' name. Amen. And with Donald, God, we thank for Donald, God, for the strength you've given him, God, to fly like an eagle, to soar like an eagle, God, and to learn how to do that, because sometimes when we're learning how to soar, the wind, like in dreams I've been in, I've had dreams of flying, and sometimes I get to go so fast, I get scared, literally. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going so fast, man. What if I crash and burn? You know, what if I run into some high wires or something, you know, and sometimes I'd be going through high wires and going too fast. And so some learning how to fly, learning how to soar when you soar, learning how to go down and, you know, get some food, learn how to look for danger, learn how to look for things, learn how to see the future. You know, there's different things in soaring like an eagle that we have to learn how to do. We have to learn to take the winds when the winds come, how to catch the wind and go up high. Usually when the winds come big, the eagles fly up high. They use the wind to fly up high. We got circumstances that are fighting us, that are heavy, that are coming against us. Sometimes that wind, if we tip our wings up just right and give God praise and tip our wings up, we go upward, 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 right? And sometimes the winds, we learn how to ride the wind. We can go up high. And so thank you, Jesus, for all the different ways of soaring like an eagle, God, in Jesus' name. That we're not going to run and not be weary. We're going to walk and we're not going to faint. We're going to fly. We're going to soar like eagles and learning how to do that. Amen? It's like my dreams. God, I think I need some practice on how to soar in this wing. Sometimes I go so high, I get scared, you know, and kind of scary because, wow, you know, I almost get out of control. And so learning how to fly, learning how to soar, learning how to be like an eagle is a lot different than people think. People just think it's kind of good. But every eagle is trained, and they learn. The mamas train the little eaglets, show them how to do things, show them how to fly. They're there to protect them when they don't make it, and on it goes. So thank you, Lord, for the eagle in my brother, in Jesus' name. Amen. And spread those wings and soar. Amen. And catch the wind so you don't wear yourself out going. You catch the wind and you soar and you flow. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. 682-738. Who am I talking to you from, please? 682-738, are you there? Okay, hang on a second here. Hi, 682, you there? All right. Thank you, Lord, for, I think this is for Sean, I think. Thank you, Lord, for LaShem tonight. We thank you, Lord, for anointing her, God, preparing her, Father, for to not just barely make it or just get by with what she can. But she does the highest quality of everything. She, you know, always looks at, you know, making people be blessed like Joseph did. Joseph, one thing that's good about Joseph, that he's so blessed is he made people prosper wherever he went, whatever he did, whether he was a slave to them or whatever he was, he made them prosper. And because everything that he was being trained to do was how to prosper, how to be blessed, how to make things be successful, doing things God's way. And I think the Lord was showing more and more how to be successful, God, how to do things your way, God, how to make people, you know, whatever she's doing, or working for them or being a part of what they're doing, that she does everything she can to make them a success, God. And because when she get a reputation for that, then everybody wants you. And I thank you, Jesus, for that thing like Joseph. Everybody wanted Joseph because they're going like, man, if I could just get Joseph to run my house, because when he runs it, it's like, man. He became, you know, the man of the hour, so to speak, because he did that. And I thank you, Jesus, for showing the Son, God, how to walk in that area where her prosperity will come from helping prosper other people. In Jesus' name, amen. Not just barely making it or, you know, doing at least she can until she gets her own thing going, but to do the best she can wherever she goes. But I think that she already does that. She's going to do that more and increase that in an abundance in Jesus' name, which she can be blessed. Because when you do that, you can be trusted with another man's stuff. You know, if you can do good with another man's stuff, then you can be touched with your own. And I thank you, Lord, for that blessing in her life in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 804-218, you want to talk to your company? That's Angie, I think, tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Angie. Thank you, Lord, for that sweet place, that sweet spot, Father. It's one of her place where she can catch her courage, catch her energy, catch what she does good, catch what she can flow in, where she's, you know, the business person's inside of her, can be a business person, the person of her that follows Jesus wherever he goes, and mix all those things together, all those gifts, all those talents, all those abilities, God, and to bless her and to prosper her, Father, in the name of Jesus, where she can pioneer things, create new things, do new things, get people to think new ways. Because if people can think new ways, then with new things that we do, they're going to accept the new things that we do. Jesus couldn't be accepted because he was doing things in a new wine area. He was doing things in a new wine way. He was a completely different person. He never disobeyed God, never broke the law, never sinned, but yet he did things completely different from everybody else. He was doing a new thing. Amen. And so thank you, Lord, for that new thing that Angie does, Father, that you will bless her and give her strength and courage, God, and give her that fellowship that she needs, somebody to stand with her, people to stand with her and be her friend and be somebody that will, you know, be there when she needs them. In Jesus' name, open up those doors, Father, right now. In Jesus' name, let it be done for Angie, Father. Amen. All right, 484-745, I'm going to talk to you from.
Hey, this is Pierre Devante Abraham. Hello?
This is?
Pierre Devante,
yes, hello?
Abraham. Hey. Pastor Randy.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
Did you hear,
yeah,
did you hear my name? Pierre Devante Abraham.
Yes, Devante. Okay. All right, Devante. We're going to pray for you tonight. Yes, thank you. thank you for being persistent, brother. It's awesome. Thank you for that. Sometimes God does test us once in a while. I wasn't testing you, but I was, you know, maybe God was testing to see if you'd be persistent. Because sometimes being persistent helps us get breakthroughs. Learning to be tested and being tested and going for it and saying, God, you know, there's a guy one time who wanted to be a missionary. And so he goes to a missionary's office. He'd been a missionary for years. And so he goes there and the secretary says, yeah, he'd be right with you. Just sit right over there. And so 4 hours later, he was still sitting there. Still sitting there. Didn't say a whole lot. He just kept sitting there. And 5 hours later, still sitting there. The guy he didn't come out. 6 hours later, 7 hours later, still sitting there. And then finally, about 8 hours later, something like that, the guy comes out. He says, hi, I'm so-and-so. And he says, yeah, I'm so-and-so. He said, so I noticed how patiently and well you waited out here. When I didn't come out, you didn't throw a fit. You didn't get mad. You're not crazy. He said, you know what? You are the man I want. Because I tested you to see if you would be a missionary, somebody that you that has to be patient and wait and see, and so you prove that, and so he went through a test and the guy passed the test. If he'd have got it and walked away, that meant that he really wasn't serious about it. He wasn't really wanting to be a missionary. He wasn't really wanting to be used by God in that particular way. And I think it'll the same thing for Devontae. God, the times you've tested him, the times that you maybe has failed and wasn't. Didn't seem like he was the guy for the job because of impatience or got in a hurry or whatever, but God, he's grown, he's growing, he's learning, and you're building him, God, and he's becoming that person that you can trust, that will have the right attitude, that will sit there for 8 hours waiting, knowing that, eventually it's going to happen. He was trusting God. So when the guy finally came out, he said, "You are definitely the guy," because so he got the job when 50 other people didn't get the job. He got the job because he passed that test. A lot of them just get up and walk out. I don't know who this rude person is. When I come over here to have a meeting with this guy, he should come out there. I'm a missionary. I'm a man of God. And they got mad and walked off, and so they all failed the test except him. He was the only one who sat there and waited. So I thank you, Jesus, for sometimes the test that my brother Devontae goes through, God, that you wanted to show him, you know, how that he can trust you. You will bring things to him when he's ready for them, and usually the training that we go through is preparing us for the big things, preparing us for the things that are going to be awesome, the things that are going to be breakthroughs in our life, and breakthroughs for others to be successful. Sometimes we have to fall apart and do the wrong things to become broken, and yet we keep coming back saying, "Okay, God, I'm back, I'm here," and becoming persistent and saying, you know, "Yeah, I failed. I messed that up. I broke that. God, I'm here. I want it. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I want you to teach me. I want you to show me." And I thank you, Lord, for Devontae, God, walking in that realm where he wants to obey you and do what you say, God, that he will be the chosen person, Father, in Jesus' name, that you will succeed and make him successful, Father, in the way you want him to, but the heart that you've given him, that he will not, his own success will not strangle him, that will not choke him out from being close to God. But it will be the very thing that will cause him to be close to God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Sometimes being blessed messes up a lot of people because they didn't go through the God process of being tested and tried and learning and growing. But I thank you, Lord, that my brother, he is, and that, God, you've called him to be blessed in Jesus' name, and to be successful in you, God, to raise up a generation of people that don't understand God but that just want God. And that you will use Devontae to show them who God is in Jesus' name, that he's a father who loves you. Even though he doesn't always do everything you want, you learn to trust him because you know that his best interest is in your behalf. And God, I thank you for Devontae learning that, growing in that, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, 863-808, can I talk to you from, please? Okay, hang on a second. My internet is going to hang, Schmidt. About this time of the night, my internet goes crazy. Oh, Devontae wanted me to pray for his freedom and expose the enemy's plan against his life. Yeah. Yes, in Jesus' name, we pray for that too, Father. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. I didn't read your text. Sorry about that. For my freedom. Okay, so you must have got. You're not free, so obviously that, and the enemy's planet, yeah. So, yeah, and that, you know, you got to live in the truth, man. When you walk in the truth, live in the truth, that's what we have a heart for. So God's showing you how to live in the truth, walk in the truth, and be protected from that. The truth is what protects us from the enemy. And I thank you, Jesus, for him walking in that truth and walking in that love and walking in the reality of what he's really doing, what he's really not doing, what he'll be able to walk in that, Father, in Jesus' name. He will not deceive himself. He will walk in the truth of who he is and what you call him to be, God. Whatever it takes to do that, he will do that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. He's a doer of the word. Amen. In Jesus' name. Bless him, God. Bless Devontae, Father. And strengthen him. Give him a heart to love you and know you, Father. Be an example of how somebody can change. Amen. In Jesus' name, and be blessed. All right, we got 863-808. I think I got my computer working now.
Hey, Randy, this is Cheryl from Florida.
Hey, all right, Cheryl. Good to have you tonight. All right, thank you, Lord, for Cheryl, Father. We thank you, Lord, for family things. We thank you, Lord, for blessing the family, for opening up the family, for bringing promises to pass. Sometimes we go through a season where it seems like, you know, it's kind of there, almost there. It seems like it's trying to get there, but didn't really get there. To getting there. It's kind of like getting ready to cross over the Jordan. Every time we go to the river, we go around the mountain again and again and again. Then one day the Lord says, okay, you can cross over now. And I thank you, Lord, for that time of crossing over, that she hears your voice, that she's willing to put her toe in the water in Jesus' name and to be free to walk into a brand new thing, Let the old pass away. Let the old habits, let the old ways of doing things, this whole religious system that we've been in, even the system that used to be new and now it's gotten old, that new system that has gotten old, God, we're willing to walk away from that and walk into the new thing and not be afraid to that God. Let God be our manager. Let God be our the one who leads us and guides us. We have to choose it. So I thank you, Lord, that she, every time she goes through something, she chooses you, God. She chooses, God, I will do what you say. And every time we do what you say, then we end up going the right direction. When we choose the wrong ways, then we choose the wrong direction. Choosing the right thing, choosing the right way to go, doing what God wants us to do when he wants us to do it is what opens up us the direction to go the direction that we're supposed to go, or our obedience by our decisions that we make. And I thank you, Jesus, for that, for the power of that in Cheryl's life, God, as she, we all make decisions that we have to change, but changing, it's like changing direction. You know, okay, I went the wrong direction for a little bit, you know, I kind of got diverted a little bit, whatever. And so now I just changed my mind, and when we change our mind, it changes our direction. We thank you, Lord, for every change that you've made already in her, for the things you wanted her to change, that she's changed. And she's walking those things, God, in Jesus' name. And as she gets ready to do that thing, when she cross over and pass through in Jesus' name, hallelujah, and get ready for the big showdowns that we're about to face, that we're ready to face them in Jesus' name because we know who our God is. We know that without him, we can't do nothing. And I thank you, Lord, that you've been training her, God, and blessing her family, and her and her family will serve the Lord. Her and her family will walk with God. Her and her family will be blessed. Her and her family, God, will be raised up together in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Just like Jesus and his mama, when they went to the wedding feast and they turned the water into wine, right? It's like, wow. You know, mom just kind of like ignored her son when her son said, you know, it's not my time yet, mom. And mom just kind of goes, okay, hey, you guys over there, just do whatever he says. And just kind of ignored him, right, in a good way. And when she did that, it caused her son, Jesus, to do his first miracle and opened up his ministry and began the word spreading around about what a miracle-working God that Jesus was serving, that he was Messiah, amen, in Jesus' name. And his mother actually did that, helped activate that. In spite of him saying, I really don't think it's time yet. It's amazing. What an amazing story. All right, 111, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Randy, Jeff and Yuki, Colorado.
All right, you guys, good to have you done. All right, thank you, Jesus, for the destruction of the old system, God, of getting ready for the new systems, God, of developing what you've been developing with Jeff and Yuki, God, is systems. Working the system, getting the system going, learning how to work it, working how to function it, learning how to develop it, and because that's what we're doing, we're going to end up in working in new systems, and those that have been working new systems, not just some people just do a new thing, they work their system, they got their little thing going on, but those who have been developing systems that are for the multitudes, so I thank you, Lord, that you've been training them. And teaching them through failure, through success, through blessings, through, you know, all different kinds of changes, watching the prophetic, watching the Lord speak and do and say things and watching things come to pass, God, that their faith is strong, you've been building their faith up, God, that we're going to learn that if we do one thing without God's approval, whatever it is, that we must diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord our God. And just like I've learned, you know, every time I would hear God say something and misinterpret it or do whatever with it, I learned from that. I failed, and I learned from that. And when I learned from that, you know what? God says, good boy, now we can move forward. So he was strategizing. He was preparing me. He was teaching me his way of doing things with me and him. And he can find one person or one couple or one people that will obey him and hearken diligently to what he says. And that takes sometimes, you know, like me, I've messed up a few things. But I had to admit I messed them up, right? Say, hey, I'm sorry, I got whatever. And God goes, man, I love that about you. Just like you love that about David, right? In Jesus' name. So we thank you, Lord, for Jeff and you. God, you've been training them to build systems, to get ready for the new systems coming up. So when the old system says you can't use our system anymore unless you bow your knee, that Jeff and you will be part of that new thing where we step into a new system that will have a new way of doing things. Just like we've been talking about with Texas and, you know, other states. We're going to have a system where people can, you know, communicate, do things, buy things, get food, get whatever. And thank you, Lord, that all the training you've been doing with them, God, is for that purpose. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. The building for the future. You're building for the future. It's about for the future. Because pretty soon, all the system, all the money we have right now in this system can be worthless to us. If we haven't already cashed out and gotten out of that, then we're going to lose it. If we have cashed out, we're going to be able to be ready to move forward into the new system, to be able to, you know, be the leaders of this new thing, like Peter, James, and John were the leaders of the new thing. Thank you, Lord. Those you're training right now that are yielding to that training, learning and growing from that, are going to move forward and be ready for when the system breaks down, when they try to take control of us, we're going to say, sorry, we don't need you, just like Elon Musk did, in Ukraine. When all of a sudden Putin was totally shocked and caught off guard because somebody set up a satellite system that totally messed up his whole game that he had going on. And so we thank you, Lord, for that, that you're using Jeff and Yuki in that sense, in that way, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 610-969, who am I talking with, please?
Shalom, Prophet Randy. This is Lisa Raquel from PA.
Oh.
And it's so interesting because, yeah, I didn't even know Devante knew your new number. And then I usually pass out because I wake up so early, and today I drank some peach iced tea. So it was amazing that I was able to stay on and then hear that. So God is good.
Yeah, he texted me. He got on the other show. I've changed numbers. We still do Blog Talk. Everything's the same. We just got a new number because the other hosts have their own thing now, and I've got mine kind of separated because we had so many archives. That we had to divide them up. And so, yeah, he texted me, and I gave him my new number. He actually tried to get it last night, and I said, hey, man, I'm not on that number anymore. And so he caught it tonight. Yeah, that happened. Thank God. All right. Cool. Well, good to have you, girl. All right. As you know, Wednesdays we don't talk, so let's pray for you, and thank you for that. Thanks for sharing. I was kind of surprised, too. It was really good to hear from him and really good to hear from you. We thank you, Lord, for this new thing we're moving into, God. We're moving to a new system, a new whole new way of thinking. You know, a lot of the ways we've done things, you know, as I've talked with the merchandising thing for a long time, people just have had a hard time with that. They haven't really believed it. But it's going to truly happen here, you know, in the near future. We're going to see some changes happen, and people are going to go like, they're going to be running to PGN. They're going to be running. Saying, oh, my God, you've talked about this. And that's the reason that we have to be bold and strong and say what we see coming in the future, because if we don't, we're going to run to it. They're going to have anybody saying anything. But we got it all documented where people are going to run and go, my God, you mean you said this all along? That gives them hope that God is telling things before it happened so that people can have hope that God is doing something instead of just falling apart because they have no hope. That's why we must be strong and bold. And even when I talk about the pre-tribulation rapture being a bunch of hogwarts, and that what God's really saying, what God's really going to do, what our purpose is, when the people that have not believed it and have been taught that other stuff are going to find that their stuff is a bunch of, you know, not going to work, that they're going to be looking for those who boldly declared and decreed and said the thing that God was going to do, and now that's being done, they're going to run to that. And so that's what's going to make things happen. And so we're seeing this whole thing of change, rearrangement, you know, like they're talking about the Great Reset. I don't even know if they know what that really means, but how powerful that really is. It's a reset, all right. But they think they're going to shut us off. But what we're going to do, Elon Musk did for UK. We're going to be ready for that. And as soon as they shut us off, we're going to, surprise, bingo, here we go. And so all those people that realize we're still here and we're not gone and it's still happening and the Antichrist is coming forth, they're going to be running to those who have that truth and prophesied that and taught that and shared it. And we're very bold about it, very strong about it, and not some half-baked, wishy-washy bunch of nonsense, but very plainly and boldly spoke things without fear. And that's what people are looking for, people who don't walk in fear. They walk in faith. They walk in the future. They walk in the future that God says, not what we hope and what we wish, but what God says. And so I thank you, Lord, for Andre and, I mean, Andre. I just called Devante Andre. That Devante will come alive and be awakened, Father, to this place of freedom, that he will be free. He's not feeling free right now, God. You're going to really make him free. You're going to bring families together. Families are going to come together in this new system, in this new way, God. And because of that, they're going to find themselves having, you know, purpose and vision. And once they have purpose and vision, they're not going to be going wishy-washy anymore. They're going to be very strong, very bold, concrete. They're going to have their own work from God. They're going to know that, hey, man, I knew something was wrong with all that other stuff, and now look here what God's doing, and I'm part of it. Just like the disciples were with the new thing Jesus did. It wasn't the old Levitical priesthood. It's now this new priesthood in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for this new priesthood, Father, for Lisa, God, to bless her, God, open her eyes to more and more and more all the times you're doing me. You're opening my eyes more all the time to new things. So what you're saying that's new, we're in the new wineskin area, literally. And when new wine is literally new wine, it has a whole new texture, has a whole new, it's not the same as the old wine. It's a whole new flavor. Everything's different. And so we thank you, Lord, for those who have a taste for that and walk in it like Lisa does in Jesus' name and open it up for her life, God, that she can be blessed and not come short of one bit of the glory of God. Amen. And fulfill the purposes of God in her life with great joy and pleasure knowing that, you used her, God, to bring new things. Because when you get into big transitions, like when Christ died on the cross and the transition between the Jewish and the church, the Jews' religion, the old and the new, that it was a big, it was a difficult transition, very, very hard. People even died over that, of course, in the book of Acts. And so it was a heavy-duty thing. But those who were on the right side were highly blessed and highly favored. And now we're still talking about them. So thank you, Lord, for that. At least in Jesus' name. And then, all right, 214-434, who am I talking to you from, please?
This is Kimberly in Texas. Will you pray for Kimberly and Derek?
Yes, hey, Kimberly. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for that faithful word, God, for that spirit of faith, that faith means having faith means being faithful. And I thank you, Lord, that when we're faithful to God first. And yet when we're faithful to God, then we're truly faithful to people because we tell them and share with them what they really need, what is really good for them instead of what they want, what they think. We give them what they want. That's what being faithful is. Having faith means you're being faithful. A person with faith is faithful. And when you're faithful to God, you're faithful to speak and say and do things that you're supposed to say and do, not just to compromise and get along with everybody. Lord, I thank you for it. Kimberly, God, that she stands up in her faith, that her faith is strong. Well, then in her faith, she will be faithful to you in everything you tell her to do or don't do. We thank you, Jesus, for that and strengthening her, showing her your love, God, and prospering her in Jesus' name. And Derek, God, we thank you for Derek, God, that Derek will walk in the spirit of faith, and his faith will be strong too, God, that he will find out that if he will follow his faith instead of just, sometimes we, like with me, many times God says, you know, when are you going to do what you say? As we get used to talking about it, we just talk. It's fun to talk, and we need to talk sometimes. Sometimes there comes a time to stand up and go do it. So thank you, Lord, for Derek to stand up and go do what you're wanting to do, Father. Stand up and go do it. Because doing it works without faith, works without doing it, is worthless or nothing or powerless. It works with faith. Faith with works is powerful, Lord. And I thank you for Derek, God, that he will actually do what he believes, what he thinks, what he talks about in his heart, in Jesus' name. Amen. And bless them together, God. Bless their love. Bless their friendship in Jesus' name. And watch over them, God. Keep them in your place, in your purpose. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. I don't know if that's all of our callers tonight or not. We'll see. We'll get a few minutes here. And if not, I'm going to call tonight. I'm going to get off early tonight, maybe. Whatever. Amen. All right. Give me just a moment. I'll be right back. Take another caller here. All right. 214-701. Who would like to read from, please?
Hi, this is Latoria from Texas.
Hey, Latoria. All right, Latoria, good to have you tonight. All right, thank you, Latoria. Thank you, Jesus, for Latoria, God. We thank you, Lord, that, you know, we're this whole thing about what system are you in, what God are you believing in, you know, what religion are you, what are you believing in, what are you really doing, what's really going on. That's the big question right now is what's really going on. Everybody's saying all these different things, Latoria. What's really going on? That's why we need the voice of God in our life. That's why we need, I'm not just talking about listening to other people only. I'm talking about knowing the voice of God in yourself, knowing that you may not understand the message, but you're going like, something's wrong with that. Something's not right about that message. I don't know what it is, but I'm not going to follow something that's wrong. And learning how to follow the spirit of a thing instead of its how popular it is, how much money it has behind it, but the spirit of a thing. And God showing you how to follow the spirit of a thing and hearing with your heart what the spirit of a thing is, whether it's a business deal, whether it's a business partner, a business friend, whether the thing we're wanting to go do, wanting to move into, wanting to go, you know, I'm going to go do this thing, that thing, I want to get this kind of thing going on, that kind of thing, and the spirit of that thing, to learn the spirit of a thing, to feel things with your heart, feel things with your spirit, to let your spirit man teach you. It's the Holy Spirit, your spirit man, when you're born again, your spirit man is seated with Christ in heavenly places. So your spirit man knows more than your mind does. Your mind can't figure it out. My mind can't figure it out. I mean, I have things going on all the time. My spirit man takes over by the Holy Spirit and just does things in spite of my thinking. And I just have to go like, wow, I don't even understand that. And I did something without even knowing what I'm doing. And it happened to be the right thing. Wow, that was the grace of God. Because my spirit man, you know, I'm learning more and more how to not just try to figure everything out, and reason everything out with my mind, my intellect, but how to feel things out with my spirit, my human spirit that's been born of God, filled with the Spirit of God, seated with Christ in every place, been recreated in the image and likeness of God Almighty. My spirit, man, who's me, part of me, is knows my sheep know my voice, and another they won't follow, because your spirit, man, knows the voice of God because he's seated with Christ in every place. But your soul, your mind, not always sure. You know, we've got religion going on, we got people saying they're hearing from God. They got, this is the right way, that's the right way. What is the right way? So I thank you, Lord, that you're teaching Latoria how to listen with her spirit man. Her spirit man knows. The Bible says we have an unction from the Holy One and know all things. Knowing all things, what? What does that mean? That means we know everything God knows? No, we know everything that God has us know. Everything that concerns our life, that concerns our family, that concerns our future, that concerns our wealth, our money, our friends, our business, whatever we're doing, that our spirit man knows everything that is concerning our purpose in life. And if we listen to our spirit man, because he's of God, he's born of God, he's filled with God, he's led by God, then our mind, we have to put our mind, not do away with our mind, but have our mind go, okay, whatever you want to do to me, let it be done according to thy word. Let it be done. Let it be done. Your mind has to say, let it be done according to thy word, and then trust him. That's what Mary did when she became impregnated. She had something totally off the charts. I'm going to get pregnant without a man? That doesn't make any sense. But she did. She became impregnated with the Holy Spirit because she didn't argue with God. She did ask the question, but I don't have a man, because she's like going like, angel, don't you know things? Man, I don't have a man. And he already knew that, of course. So she wasn't really doubting him. And yet she questioned, you know, I don't have a man. He says, well, you're not going to need a man. He goes, okay. I mean, who would do that? I don't know many people that do. Okay. Well, okay, go ahead. Let it be done to me according to. That's because her mind had to learn how to relax and rest and say, okay, let it be done. Because it can't figure that stuff out. Her mind was trying to figure it out already. She decided just to go, I'm going to trust God. And so I thank you, Lord, for Latoria, that she has great faith in you, Jesus. She has great trust in you, Jesus. You're going to teach her how to trust you more and more, Lord. So she will say the right thing, that her mind will not argue, you know, like Zechariah, who brought his wife, brought forth John the Baptist. The Bible says he argued with the angel. He said, well, I'm too old for this. And, you know, how can my wife have a child and we're old? He said, well, and the angel says, well, you know, I'm going to go ahead and impregnate her anyway with John. You guys are going to go, you know, have a thing here, and you're going to have a baby, but it's not going to, but you're not going to be able to talk for 9 months because of your unbelief. It still happened, but it cost him a lot. It cost him 9 months of not being able to talk and communicate. And as a priest, that's pretty devastating. So he paid for that, but yet Mary didn't. She said, she let her mind go, okay, I don't understand this. Okay, so make me pregnant without a man. That'll be amazing. And God did it, and it was done. So thank you, Lord, for Latoria giving her strength and understanding how to yield her will to you, Father, in the name of Jesus, so she can be successful, God, in Jesus' name. All right, y'all, thank you very much. Still got time. It's only 11:30. So better get called in. We'd love to pray for you. Love to minister to you, so please get on there before I end the show, and let me know that you're there. All right, I'm going to wait for another caller to get their hand. Oh, there you go. All right, 225-454, who may I talk to you from, please?
Hi, Karen from Louisiana.
Hi, Karen. All right, Karen.
Hello.
Really good to have you. All right, thank you for being on. Thank you, Lord, for Karen, God. I thank you, Father, for her sacrifice, for her obedience, God. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Sometimes we sacrifice because we'll do anything for God. I really don't want to do this, God, but I'll do it because I know you want me to. And then there's the other side of it where, where we obey because we want to. We obey. And that's what Jesus did when he was at the Garden of Gethsemane. He was struggling, Karen. Maybe you heard me talk about this before, but I don't know why I'm telling you this, but he was, you know, he'd been having miracles, signs, and wonders for 3.5 years or so. And now all of a sudden, he's feeling drawn, you know, that something that just giving his life it was getting time. And, he was having fun, you know, saving the globe, man. The whole world was starting to come to him. And he struggled. He said, Father, this cup can pass from me, man. You know, maybe we can keep doing miracles and signs and wonders and healing people and delivering people and bringing families together and saving lives. And the Father goes, no, it's time to go to the cross. So he had to yield to that. And at first it was kind of a sacrifice. Oh, yeah, nevertheless, not my will, but that way. It's kind of a sacrifice. And, okay, Father, I'll do it. Even though I don't want to do it, I want to do it because it's you. But pretty soon it turned into, now I want to do this. Now I can't wait to do this. When before he sacrificed. He was offering up a sacrifice. Okay, God, I really don't want to do this, but I'll do it anyway. And so that was a beautiful thing, and it's a beautiful thing to do things that we don't really want to do. We do it for God anyway because he loves that, but at the same time, he loves it even more when our desires become wanting to do it. Like, okay, I would have done it for you no matter what, God, but now I want to do it. Wow, I'm waking up in the morning, and I can't wait to do this. When before, I was going to do it for you anyway, but and God goes, yes, I appreciate the sacrifice for your obedience. In your willingness, the desire you have, it's your desire now. It's not just my desire for you, and you doing it because it's my desire. Now you're doing it because I've made it your desire. Now you want to do it, and that's what gives you the strength, Karen, to do things. When we walk into that place to where it's no longer us sacrificing for God, it's harder to do it when it's that way. But when it's our will too, when Jesus' desires change, like okay, we're going to do this. I decided I love this. I want to do this. Then all of a sudden, the energy and the strength he got to go do it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. So he stepped into a whole different realm of getting strength. He asked his disciples, please pray for me because I'm struggling because I really don't want to do this, but I want to do what my Father listened to. And then it turned into willingness. And when he willingly went, when he couldn't wait to go now, it changed everything. It gave him strength, it gave him energy, it gave him joy, and now he was going because it was now his will, meaning that he really wanted to do it. It wasn't just sacrificing anymore. It was, yeah, willing obedience. And I thank you, Lord, for caring, God, for strengthening her, God, showing her your ways, God, her love for you to pay the price and do whatever you want to do, even though she doesn't, not sure if, you know, if she really is ready to do it or wants to do that, or she, you know, I don't really want to do that, but I'll do anything for you, God, and moving that all into that place of willingness and desire to do it now, not just to do it for God because you love him, but to do it now because it has literally become your will and your desire. Well, now you went from God desiring you to do it, you sacrificing for it, to now you're willing to do it because your will has changed to a higher level, to a much higher level. In Jesus' name, of willingness. Amen. And you're going to find strength and energy, and God's going to bless you for that. Amen. A whole nother, it's a higher level. All right, 804-218, you want to talk to her some, please?
This is Angie from Virginia.
Okay, Angie. Hey. Yeah, I already prayed for you. I got you earlier. I know you might have been missing for the moment, but I already prayed for you once. We can pray for you again, too, though. You can go back and find that. I don't know exactly when I prayed for you, but it's a little bit back, maybe 30 minutes ago, maybe 45 minutes ago. I don't know, you might write it down, but also we pray for you again. So thank you, Jesus, for Angie. Thank you, Lord, for giving her the strength to deliver the goods, Father, to keep her eyes on the prize of what she's doing, to keep seeing what you're calling her to do and see the results of it, that, God, you are marrying, you are bringing things, you're bringing the super and marrying it to the natural realm, to the food realm and how to eat and all that, how to heal people. It's not just the signs, wonders, and miracles. They're just praying in Jesus' name, but all of it together, God, that you keep, she keeps her eyes on you and that, Lord, that you send her to do it. Keep strengthening her to give her ideas. Keep strengthening her to give her joy in the midst of it and provision in the midst of it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that she sees it as a ministry and not just a like a five-fold ministry thing, but a ministry thing like eBay considers their thing as a ministry in a sense that it's that they're giving people what they need, what they want, and they get it to them to get them, you know, what they need and what they're asking for. Ask and you shall get it delivered to you. Ask and you shall receive. Ask and it shall be delivered. Right, that's what they do. So it's like a service, like a ministry to them. And a lot of people love Amazon because of that. And I have friends that just say, I love Amazon because they serve you. So I thank the Lord for showing, for opening her up to that service realm, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. How to serve and be blessed from it. How to serve like Amazon serves, like Jesus taught. He serves, becomes the greatest. Thank you, Lord, for showing her, giving her creative ideas on how to serve your people, serve you, in Jesus' name, and be successful, in Jesus' name, prosper, be blessed in it, in Jesus' name. Open it up right now. Amen. All right, 662-806, can we talk to you again, please?
Cynthia from Mississippi.
Hey, Cynthia. All right, Cynthia, thank you. Thank you, Cynthia. Thank you, Lord, for that, for the brokenness, God. I thank you for the misunderstandings, for the things that when we misunderstand something, it's because we misunderstand. That's what the whole Bible is about, Matthew 13, that I've been teaching on, about the whole thing is about to understand, you know, getting understanding. And all you're getting, get understanding. And Matthew 13, the whole thing, 36 and 100-fold, is about understanding. So everything got changed to, you know, understanding. And so understanding correctly, when we misinterpret things, when we misunderstand things, when we mix our own desires with God's desires, which we all do at times, God has to, he's purifying us. He's saying, you know, when your desires mix with mine, then we end up with a mixed job and it doesn't get done. The things get messed up. So I thank you, Lord, for purifying her heart more and more and more all the time. If you're doing mine, Lord, you're purifying my heart. You're purifying my motives. You're showing me different things all the time. Nobody's motives are perfect. Everybody has human motives that may appear good, may look good, but in God's eyes, they're nasty. They're bad, not because they're evil, but because they're just not his. And so I thank you, Jesus, for her, God, for opening her eyes, to showing her more and more, you know, how to purify her heart, her motives, her intentions. She doesn't mix you, have any of herself with you, that, God, when you finally as she yields to you, God, you turn her desires to be your desires so that her desires are yours. And, Lord, showing her how that works and showing her how that beautiful that is, how perfect that is, how much more powerful it is. In Mark 11, 24, if you look at Mark 11, 25, 24, 25, in the King James, you have to look at it in the King James, but the King James makes it really plain. I'm going to go to that Mark 11, King James Version, King James. Well, she'll watch what it says here. The fig tree just dried up, and therefore I said, any whatsoever things you desire when you pray. Whatsoever things you desire, whatsoever things when you desire, let's see. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. Amen. And they said, when you pray, you stand praying, forgive. Unforgiveness, as you know, many times it's messed with me. It gives me that, because that ends up making something good into something wrong. We have unforgiveness towards something. We have to forgive, because forgiveness keeps our motives right. If our motives aren't right, it's going to all be wrong. We get off track. We go the wrong way. Because obeying God sends us the right direction. Disobeying God, whatever way, it sends us the wrong direction, right? It's just really so simple. It's scary. He said, therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray. So when you're in prayer and God gives you desires, that's when he changes your desires into his. He says, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Believe that you are going to receive what? The desires that when you're in the prayer mode and you're in praying and you begin to move from your motives, your intentions, which maybe, you know, when we kind of start out with it first, and all of us do in prayer. Oh, God, you know, I know what you want with that. And then God goes, yeah, that's not really what I want, but go ahead. So we just keep praying. We finally yield over and get the Spirit. And so it says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray. So in the spirit of prayer, when we get into the spirit of prayer and we lose ourselves in him, we lose our motive, we lose our own intention, we lose ourselves, then when all of a sudden we desire the things that we desire in that mode, in that moment, believe they receive those things. That's when things get answered. That's when things get done. So it's about God cleansing our motives, cleansing our desires, and he has to do that everything, because sometimes we have good motives for something, sometimes we have mixed motives with others. So God has to go in and say, okay, we've got to purify this thing. We're going to go anywhere with this thing. We have to purify our heart. So we're going, okay, God, you know, you purified my heart many times. Just keep doing it. And when he purifies your heart, then it sends you the right direction. Right? Impurities or unforgiveness or whatever sends us the wrong direction. Our intentions send us the wrong direction. God's intentions send us the right direction. Pure. And I thank you, Lord, that you're doing this with your people. You're doing it with me. You're purifying my motives, my intentions. In Jesus' name, so that when I pray, that the desires you give me in while I'm in prayer may be totally different. When I saw, like the presidential thing, when I got in prayer and God started showing me why he was going to allow Biden to be president instead of Trump, you know, I said to change the way I prayed. I said, okay, God, so you're going to do that? So prepare your people for going through some stuff, because Biden's going to bring us to the whole new. So before it was Trump, right? So in prayer, God started showing me that wasn't going to happen. And so then I began to pray different, and then my prayers became prophetic, and that prophetic prayers became the word of the Lord. And so it's in that sense, in a way. But well, thank you, Lord, purifying her heart, God, just like you're doing mine, Jesus. And thank you, Lord, that because of that we're protected, kept. That whatever we pray will happen, because we're praying with the right spirit. We're praying with the desires from heaven, in Jesus' name. Amen. And bless her, God. Make her successful, God. Jesus' name calls her to walk in. The only way we're going to be successful, as you know, Cynthia, is walking in the will of God. And I thank you, Lord, that that's her heart, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. She's going to forgive. She's going to bless and move forward in your perfect will, where there's protection and provision. Amen. When nothing, no man can shut any door that God is open. No man can. If we open it, however reason, whatever reason, it can't be shut by man. If we open it, man can shut it. If God opens it, then no man can shut it. If God shuts it, no man can open it. And thank you, Lord, that's what the motive and intention are. And that's what God's showing more of. Randy, let me purify your intention, your motives, so that when I open a door, no man can shut it. When I shut a door, no man can open that door. No man, no matter how many people they are, they can't touch it. I went, ooh, I want that. All right, I hope that made sense. Anyway, okay. All right. It's almost midnight here. If you want prayer, we don't do any talking on Wednesdays. That's why if somebody starts talking, I try to find out exactly what they want and move on. Because we're here on Wednesdays, Mondays and Tuesdays, we talk, have fun, share. But Wednesdays is sanctified and set apart for purity, making sure we pray for every person who needs it and who wants it. That's what I love about our new system. It's really, really great, I think. Really cool. All right, y'all, I think maybe it. It's almost midnight. Nobody can call in for midnight anyway. Looks like everybody that I see there has already gotten prayer. That doesn't have their hand up. Okay. All right, y'all, I'm sitting here waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time, waiting patiently for me. He was there all the time. Something like that. All right, y'all, I think I'm going to call it a night tonight. Well, that's about it. And then at midnight, I'm going to call him anyway. So I'm going to call it a night. All right, y'all, we love you. Thank you very much. And hopefully you were able to get some kind of encouragement from the word of the Lord and from the prophetic realm. So thank you so much. We will talk to you tomorrow.